I'm not going. I'm going to stay right here until we get this or these issues, conflicts, resolved. Welcome, worldwide listeners, to tonight. Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. Complex resolution in relationships, part two. Is it you? Is it me? Is it us? Is it we? Tonight, we're going to continue to talk about how to peaceably resolve conflicts in relationships. And if that doesn't work, how do we separate amicably? Why do we stay in unhealthy relationships? You may even be having conflicts within yourself. We can take on that subject on another evening. But tonight, I am Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Unicycle Design. And you can call in to 845-241-9985. Again, that's 845-241-9985. And let's talk about this evening, Thursday, January the 5th, 2023. Welcome to the new year, each and every one of you who have not welcomed before to my worldwide listening audience. And Miss Inez says, talk about it. Join us as we talk about conflict resolution in relationships, part two. Let's start resolving our conflicts. We talked about the following on Tuesday, and so I just want to recap for those of you who had not joined me on Tuesday. And so if you want to join me again, that number is 845-241-9985. And I got this information from www.ncu.edu, and NCU stands for North Central University. These are five conflict resolution tips for couples. And so we kind of discussed them all up until about 1 o'clock in the morning, politically correct and politically incorrect in each and every way that you want to talk about it. And so five conflict resolution tips for couples. Directly express your problem. Don't blame your partner. Stick to one argument at a time. And communication, of course, is always key. And don't forget to be open-minded. Number one, directly express your problem. In order to find a resolution, couples must directly express what's bothering them in a firm and honest manner. Once the issue is out in the open, a real plan of action can be put in place. So, I don't know what's bothering you. If you don't tell me, you got to tell me exactly what's wrong, so that we can fix the issue. If I can't fix the issue, if I'm trying to learn you by osmosis. So let's talk about it. As I always say, come on, let's talk about it. As they say, communication is key. So when we talk about it, we can get everything out in the open and fix what the issue is. Number two, don't blame your partner. Putting blame on someone for a problem that both people are experiencing never leads to a viable solution. To avoid this pattern, it's better to respond with "I feel" statements that keep the main point at the center of the discussion. This approach will lead to a better communication that honors the feelings of each partner without putting them down. You know what? That word communication, it's key. You got to talk about it if you want to get it fixed. So let's get out the problem, but don't blame me. Don't blame your partner. Number three, stick to one argument at a time. Don't start with one and then go to another. What I talked about the other day is writing them down, write what's bothering you down, you know, and go from there. So the best thing to do is, in addition to removing blame, it's important to maintain one argument at a time. Unfortunately, when couples fight, it's easy to start lumping together multiple issues into one massive blowout, and that's not good, because then you're all over the place and don't know, you know, you don't know what's going on. So the best thing to do is write it down and figure out what is bothering you. And That way you can say, okay, this is my issue, then the next person can go and see what their issue is. And even if it takes a few days to work it out, hey, that's better than sitting up there looking at each other all mad, lips all poked out, and so on and so forth. So, couples can stick to one argument, have a much better chance of finding one solution. And what did I say? 4, communication is key. It may sound like a broken record, but, you know, healthy communication between partners is the bedrock of any successful relationship. For example, one must really pay attention to the issues or feelings that their partner is sharing, using a form of active listening and perception checks will eliminate misunderstandings and provide a strong foundation for alleviating future conflict. I know, you know, it's best, if something's bothering you, don't let it sit there and fester. Talk about it so that you guys can have that open communication. As a matter of fact, at the job that I'm at, this couple comes in and they were looking for something to wear. And so they've been 50 years, the big 5-0. And so they must have had either a great understanding of each other, or they talked about everything that was bothering them and brought it to the table. Don't leave anything off the table. Don't put it underneath the table. Don't sweep it out the door. Bring it forward and talk about it. That's how you dissolve conflict. If you keep it in your back pocket, won't nobody know what's going on or bothering you if you don't talk about it. Next one, 5, be open-minded. Finally, couples who can remain open-minded throughout their issues are more likely to find peaceful resolutions that serve the interests of both parties. They must remove their egos and consider both sides of the coin without bias or personal gain. Operating within this mode will allow for a reasonable discussion, as well as having the openness to accept the other partner's standpoint. When couples can be open-minded and objective, they are well-suited to handle a variety of issues. You know what? You got to be open-minded, because how did y'all get together? Were you open-minded when you initially got together, or was it one person decided everything? I don't think this one person decided everything, because that's not fair. Now that some people's relationships, that's what happens. One person decides everything, and the other person just sits there and just says, yes, dear, yes, honey, yes, dear. No. Open your mouth. Talk. Speak. Tell the other person what's on your mind, so they may not have thought about it. It's like, oh, baby, that's a good idea. Let's do this. Or let's change what we're going to do and do something different. So be open-minded. And, you know, just don't be so closed-minded and so closed-mouthed that, you know, what do they say? A closed mouth doesn't get fed. So once you open your mouth and see what's going on, I bet you can get a resolution. And it's like, oh, that would be so bad. Thank you so much for helping me out with that issue. And the NCU, the North Central University Youth Counseling, can make a difference as well. I know about that, because I went to 2 counselors on my first marriage. Yep, my first marriage, I sure did. Whether it's a couple just starting out or a marriage well into its time, counseling services that offer conflict resolution management can lead to extraordinary breakthroughs. So don't think that a therapist or a counselor can't help you, because a lot of times you have to have a person who is a mediator or doesn't know you well enough to say, oh, well, you need to do this and you need to do that. But they can listen with an open mind, and they can hear what both of you are saying and how you are saying it. Because sometimes you can say things and it's not very polite, it's not very nice. And when a third person is involved, it can be a friend sometimes. Hey, Sally, I need you to come over and listen to what's going on with Jimmy and I, because we just having some issues, and we just want to have somebody who's in a neutral ground who can just sit here and listen, and maybe you can help resolve what the issue. Even if they can't resolve, at least you can have that person in the middle and kind of like, hey, y'all, let's, no, we're not doing WWE tonight. We're not going through the, nope, we're not fighting. We just want to have an even keel and maybe write down the issue, you know, and give it to the person who's neutral. And they can say, hey, this really isn't that big of an issue. It's only big because you make it big. You know, you just, you know, release the pressure and put things out on the table. You will be all right. So they say, whether it's a couple just starting out, so if you guys are newly dating and just learning each other, you know, but he may be coming on soon. He would write down pros and cons, you know, things that are going on. So, you know, that's a good thing. That's a real good thing. So, you know, write down the issues that you're having, as I said earlier, so that you guys can figure out what's going on and what's the issue, and maybe get some resolution between yourself or with the person who's neutral at a neutral point. And so hello, caller. Who are you?
It's the devil himself. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you.
Good. So, you're doing well? Also, you were on last night, weren't you?
Yeah, I did call in a while. There seemed to be some problems because you went away, you prayed, you went off the air. I didn't know that you had that program. And then there was a huge
Bible study.
Yes, that's right. And that's good, by the way. I love Bible study, actually more than church. At any rate, yeah, I hung on because I was doing some other things, and I just, we have some static now. I don't know if that's on my end or your end, but I guess we'll have to work through
it.
Anyway, I was occupied with some other things, so I just left the mic open. And finally, you did return, and I guess you did a little bit of business, and then you went off the air. But anyway, that's
right.
Good. I'm glad you're mm-hmm. Let's see, how do I say this? You're occupying the airwaves.
That I am. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and Sundays. Tuesdays and Thursdays, you know, we have Miss Inez Says, and then Sergeant Parks will be coming back with Keeping It Real with Sergeant Parks. And they'll, where he's from, the area he's from, Yakima, Washington, they'll be celebrating.
What is that about, Keeping It Real with Sergeant Parks? What is that about, I'm sorry?
He brings different topics and things like that. I mean, he's very, what do you call it, pro-children for one thing, and he's pro, you know, keeping communities together. So he lives in Yakima, Washington.
Oh, cool. Hey, I'll hang out. I just got in. I've been doing a little bit of work, of course, a little project. Inez, do you hear that? Now I can. It sounds like someone was moving around. But did you hear that static?
I didn't hear the static, but someone, you know, they say that. I think it's my phone. It's got static.
Oh, okay.
So.
Look, I'll just hang out and I don't know if you were announcing something or whatever because I couldn't hear you that clearly. So I'm doing a few things. So I'll just listen to what's going on with you. Okay.
Yeah, it's just me right now.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine. I was just recapping what I had talked about on Tuesday. And
okay. I have a comment. A couple of comments, though. I thought about it also.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Look, this conflict thing is going to be, look, I don't have really an ego, not a real ego in things like this. I mean, I love you in the position, doing what you do. You know, I was accused of trying to take over your show. That is bull crap. That is complete idiocy. And someone who has insecurity would say that. Sure, I make my points as I always do and always shall do.
Uh-huh.
But the point is that this particular issue between men and women, well, between Americans, period, but particularly between men and women, it's going to be a multifaceted approach. There's not a one item fix all or one solution to this. It's got to be a multi-pronged solution, as many problems necessitate. So I look forward. I work with it. I mean, I listen to a lot of different views, not just one biased point of view. I listen to a lot of point of views before I make my decision. So you remember, I don't mind sharing what I know about men going overseas, and I have some very valuable information, I believe, where they don't have to go completely overseas. And let me use the word correctly here. They have a little bit of a indemnification. They have a little bit of security in the sense that they don't have to be totally responsible for the woman that they're trying to make their wife. They don't have to be totally responsible for her. Now, some of the guys don't think of this. You know, that's why it takes a lot of different minds working on a complex problem. And so I don't mind sharing that. A little bit of information about the State Department and how this work, how some of the feminist laws have combined to really try and stifle men from actually getting wives overseas. I mean, there is an effort. There's some pushback on that. But, I mean, it won't prevail. It's not prevailing. And so I could take, at some point when you're comfortable with it, I can share that. Because that's going to be part of the problem, I mean, part of the solution also, is men going outside of the U.S. and finding traditional women. That's going to be important, I think, going forward. So, anyway, that's just an overture. That's just an offer. I'm just tendering that. If you decide to accept it, fine. If not, that's fine too. But I'm just letting you know, if you have men that are your, men that you care about, friends, brothers, nephews, et cetera, they're going to need this kind of information, especially if they're going to be successful men and if they want kids. I have some ideas about that too. So it's a work in progress is what I could share with you.
You said if they want kids, as far as with women over from overseas, or just want kids, period?
Well, see, this thing, let me just share with you, what's his name now, Tate, who's an internet sensation, Andrew Tate, he advises men to go overseas and have kids, and they're kind of like really absent fathers because they'll only see them a couple of times a year. Just to be specific, he said that men should go to Cambodia in one broadcast and father kids and leave them over there and then visit the kids, you know, maybe send the mother money to help support the kid. But I can't really swallow that. I agree with most of what he said, but I don't agree with that because there's a better solution. And he also recommended that men go to South America and do the same thing. I don't I don't agree with that. I think there are other ways. I think surrogacy would be a much better option for men. See, they're going to have to spend some money. I understand it's between $15,000 and $25,000, where they could pay a woman, do it all legal, turn the legal system in their favor, have their kid. Once the kid is born, the kid is delivered over to them legally, and it's their kid. They don't ever have to worry about going to court, having their kid taken away from them. They don't ever have to worry about that. And there are attorneys that come on and talk about how the child support or the family court system is astronomically corrupt. So I think surrogacy is going to be great for young men going forward to have their kids. And if they want to get a woman, she can come in and help, love the kid, this kind of stuff. A child. But she can never take the child. No woman can ever take that child from the man if they go the surrogacy route. Now, I'll just ask you, if you don't mind, are you familiar with that particular procedure?
No.
Had you ever heard of it? If you're not familiar, had you ever heard of it?
Not as far as, surrogacy for a man, no.
Yeah, so what a man does is there are women that hold themselves out. Sorry about that. There are women that hold themselves out that participate in the surrogacy program. And the man has to. Go ahead.
No, I just said,
Okay. Anyway. There are women who participate in this particular program. You have to go through attorneys. They have all the doctors, the attorneys, because, while the woman is carrying the child for the roughly 9 months, you have to pay for her medical. All of that has to be paid for, the attorney fee. You see where I'm going here. So when the child is born, it's all done under contract. The child is delivered over to the man. So it's his child. He never has to worry about going to court, fighting for his child, paying child support, none of that garbage. But now the only problem is, or the only concern, is it can be a little bit pricey. But it's his child because they use his sperm and they use the egg, obviously, of a fertile woman. She's been tested to make sure that she is a standard bearer, that she can do it, she can carry the pregnancy to term, and she has to be paid too. She's paid a certain amount, the attorneys are paid a certain amount, so that's where that 15 to 25 grand comes into play. Now, don't hold me to that. It may be a little bit, I'm just giving you a range from 15 to 25,000, and I know of attorneys that do that, by the way, but anyone can look them up on the internet. And so I'm just saying that's one way to obviate or to avoid any problems, custody problems. All of that is eliminated forever. Does that sound good to you? Does it sound reasonable?
That's if a man wants a child and doesn't want to be bothered with a woman, basically?
Well, it's not so much being bothered with the woman, Inez. It's being bothered with what the woman can trigger, the court system, which is all about money itself. It's all about greed and avarice, that kind of thing. So, but anyway, you can look it up. I know you do a lot of research, so you can look up child surrogacy, what that entails, because that's what men are going to have to do until the system changes. I think in the 50s, children weren't just, I understand now it's 90%. They give the children to the women about 90% in family court. And women initiate between 70 and 80% of relationship disillusions or marriage disillusions. And it's 90% if the woman is college educated, right? So it's very high. And men have to take into account, if you knew that you were going into a business with a person and there was over a 50% chance of failure, would you do it? And most people would say, heck no. Well, that's the same as it is with relationships. And I'm just giving you the figures. I'm just giving you the quotes. And by the way, divorce among Christians is higher than it is among non-Christians. I don't know if you knew that. Did you know that?
No. No.
Yeah, it is.
But I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, okay, so that's, I've sort of shot my spiel here, but I think there's a lot more to be said in the implication of the surrogacy option for men. Now, this is for men and their children. Getting a woman is a separate issue. That's a separate agenda. But this is just about...
Right, it takes
about,
at least 6 months or so to get a woman from over in that in overseas or something to that effect, I was talking to somebody today about that, and they said it takes about 6 months, and you have to pay their family for the rest of their lives or whatever. It's like, that's crazy. But that's what it is.
Okay, you cut out a little bit. I'm sorry. Could you just repeat the first part of what you said? I heard the last part.
So the part that you heard was what?
I heard you say something about paying the family forever, and it dealt with getting a woman from overseas, but I didn't hear your opening expression.
I had spoken to a person today about, and if you get a woman from overseas, it's going to take at least 6 months is what I was told. And you have to pay and take care of their family for the rest of their lives or whatever it is. Is that true?
Well, some of that is true. And it's true because, mm-hmm. you know, we're talking about the second world. It's not entirely true. It's true partially.
Okay.
But it's not true enough to be a deal breaker because that can be sort of sidestepped. That's not a really big issue. Now, yeah, but there is some of that. But see, what men can do, I'm going to give you five locales. There's Puerto Rico, and we're talking about where women are more traditional. Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands, American Samoa, Guam, and although Hawaii is not a territory, it's a non-contiguous state, right, separated by the ocean. But see, the thing about Hawaii and all of these other places, women in those areas tend to be more traditional. They're not as indoctrinated with this feminist ideology, which makes them non-fit, non-friendly, and non-feminine, and most of them will die alone with a dog, you know, most of them. They've been sold this idea that success is more important than a man, okay? That's the idea that American, and I would say Western women have been sold, and it's worse in some places, some ethnic groups, it's worse with them than in others, but that's the overall gist of the way the situation is. So when men go to these places that I just said to you, they can get the top-tier women and bring them here because they're still U.S. citizens. Obviously, if they come from Hawaii, they're U.S. citizens. But in these other places, they're U.S. citizens too, Puerto Ricans, Guamanians, America Samoa, and of course, the Virgin Islands, U.S. Virgin Islands. All of those women are U.S. citizens. So if they come here, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just saying, uh-huh.
Oh, okay. If they come here, there is no issue of having to support them. If the relationship doesn't work out, they can either stay here because they're U.S. citizens, or they can go back. And this is one of the things that I don't hear the guys with the passports really heralding. They're not announcing that, and I think they're missing a huge swath of opportunity because if you go to another country, then that triggers what you were talking about just now, where you have to support the person for a certain amount of time, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's much more cumbersome and laborious if you get a person strictly from a non-U.S. territory, as it would be if you secured a woman from a U.S. territory. Does that make sense? Do you follow me on that?
Uh-huh, I do. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, men are going to have to seek out options because this problem is not going to clear up anytime soon. It's going to take a while. I would say anywhere from 5 to 10 years at least, at minimum. So,
mm-hmm.
You know. And one other thing. Andrew Tate was making this particular argument is that anything one has responsibility for, they should have authority over. Pierce Morgan, he was having this conversation with Pierce Morgan. Now, Pierce Morgan I call him a mangina. He actually fights against men, being men.
Period.
He fights against masculinity. And he was saying that if a man protects and provides for a woman, he should not have any authority over her. And the argument that Mr. Tate was making is that if I tell her, the woman that I'm responsible for protecting, if I tell her she shouldn't go X place, she should listen to me because I'm responsible for her protection. I have some authority because I have the responsibility. Now, that works on everything. You know, why does a captain go down with his ship? And Mr. Tate used this example. Because he has authority. He's responsible for what goes on that ship. That's why he dies with the ship. The captain goes down with the ship. I'm sure you've heard of that. And that's the point that Mr. Tate. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said many times.
Yes. And so it's a very simple, logical inference. And Pierce Morgan, he got it. He's just sold out to the Matrix. Now, this is what, again, I know you've heard of the Matrix, and this is what what a lot of YouTubers say, the Matrix is coming for me. But Pierce Morgan is definitely part of the Matrix. He's an agent really against men, and he's against the harmony of men and women. Men and women could work out their own problems if it weren't for the intervention of, I would say, hostile parties, i.e. the state and public policies, which, again, goes back to the state. You know, and you're a Christian. You're a Christian, so I'll just give you a Christian example. When God created Adam and Eve, he didn't give them any counseling. He just brought them together. God was the first matchmaker, and churches missed that for some reason. God was the first matchmaker, and he just brought them together and just watched what transpired. He just brought two healthy adults together and told them, you know, Adam, here's Eve. Eve, here's Adam. See you guys later.
So in conflict resolution, do you think if we who are conflicted started with a clean slate, we would get along a lot better?
Well, you know, it doesn't even have to be clean. It doesn't have to be that clean. I think if the person just went in, persons, plural, if they just went in with good intentions, they could pretty much solve any problem confronting them. What do you think?
I mean, but as I was stating earlier, the five different tips. And I don't know if you were in on the five different tips the other day. I know you may have been.
No, I didn't hear them all, but go ahead.
Directly express your problems. Don't blame your partner. to one argument at a time. communication is key, and be open-minded.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I subscribe to that. What was the first one? I didn't hear the first one.
The first one was directly express your problems. You know, just lay it out there. What's wrong? What's the issue is? Instead of beating around the bush and humming and hawing, just say what the issue is. I don't like the way that you cut your hair. You know, I don't like that you don't put the toilet seat up in the bathroom. Just plain and simple. I don't like how you load the dishwasher. You know, stuff like that. Just easily just say it instead of, you know, can we talk, you know, just go ahead. You know what that problem is, so go ahead and say it. You know, sometimes it's easier said than done, but. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you finish, I have an addendum to that, but I like those points, but I have one addendum to that.
Okay, your addendum is?
Yeah, my addendum would be, for many people, it is difficult to express issues along this particular line. And I would say write them down. Write out one's thoughts, because they say, you know, as it said, writing mirrors the mind. And it's really a beautiful understanding when one comprehends it. So what I would say to a person in regards to that first one is to write it down, because sometimes, you know, emotions enter into it when you're trying to say something to someone. And, you know, there is some body language issues and this sort of thing. So I would say first write it, redact it, and then share it with the person. Maybe let them read it first before you try to explain it, and then work at it that way. I think that would be considered what's known as ultimate communication. What do you think?
And that's exactly what I said the other day. I said, if you got a problem, write all the problems that's bothering you down, just like instead of clumping them all together, to stick to one argument at a time. That's when I said, you know, write them down, because that way you can get all the issues resolved or at least spoken about, even if it's not at the same time, and say, okay, take this problem today, take the next problem another day, blah, 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 until it's all resolved. So write down your issues and then let the person read it. And then, or, you know, talk about it one at a time instead of, you know, starting. It says, unfortunately, couples fight. It's easier to start lumping together multiple issues into one massive blowout. Couples who can stick to one argument have a much better chance of finding one solution. That's what we talked about that on Tuesday. So I said the best thing to do is write it down. That way you'll know exactly what you want to say, and there's no ands, ifs, or buts about it, and then you could discuss, you know, everybody's. Maybe if you have a problem, you talk about it, and then we get it resolved. And if I have a problem, we talk about it, and just keep going back and forth between our two lists until all of the issues are resolved.
Right, right. And had you finished?
Yeah, I yield.
Okay. Yeah, and I would say don't text it.
Do not text. This is face-to-face. This is face-to-face. This is not texting thing. This is face-to-face. Because we're a couple
married.
You know.
Yeah. Now, so the only thing I would say, it would be nice if the person could see. Sometimes if a person reads something when they are alone, they don't have. Mm-hmm. Now, this doesn't have to always be the case. We can mix and match here. The person doesn't always have to be present. They could just say, you know, I love you, or I really would like to get to know you, but this is what I would like for you to know about me and about my desires. Please read this, and then let's discuss it later on. And see, that way there are no interruptions. The person can read it at their leisure and really get a comprehension of what the person is saying. And I would the only other thing I would say is that the person just makes sure that it's written well, it's redacted well. Yeah, That would be my only concern there. But I agree with that. I think that's fantastic.
And Joe talks about, you know, when you're getting to know somebody, have your pros and cons written down as well, so that you know what they know, what you like and what you don't like. Because in that way, that will relieve or alleviate or whatever. It'll what do you call it? You won't have the issues of, well, I told you at the beginning of our relationship that I didn't like this, 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 and this. Or, you know, this bothers me.
No, I was just saying, I was just saying, agreeing with what you were saying.
You know, so as long as, you know, if you have your pros and cons of what you like and don't like, or, you know, maybe add to the to your list, maybe what happened in the last relationship that you didn't like or that bothered you, that you, you know, at least the person who you're getting into the relationship with will understand, like, oh, they don't like, you know, the shoes underneath the bed, but they like it at left at the front door type of thing. You know, I'm just being silly, but, you know, little things like that. I usually take my shoes off when I enter my house, you know, right there at the front door, because it's just me, so I'm not going to trip over them. And then other people says, oh, you take your shoes off? I said, I usually do, but you don't have to, you know. So, but once a person knows what you like and don't like, or what your dislikes are and your likes are, that makes an easier start to a relationship, because then they know how to approach you about certain things. And if you don't like something, then they may ask, you know, what happened about why you don't like such and such and such and such. You know, maybe, you know, your mom may have, you know, thrown peas at you and you just don't like peas. I'm being silly, but I mean, you know, something that may have happened in your childhood that you just really don't want to bring into your adult life. So, you know, it's always good to have that information when you go into a relationship, and we had talked about that in one of our segments as well. You know, how do you date? How do you date a person? How do you, you know, get someone to love you? So we've been going over quite a few things in these segments. I don't know why or how I got into relationships, but that's just
what. Well, it's unavoidable, actually. It's actually unavoidable when you think of the whole sphere of human involvement. Now, just one of the things that I would say regarding what you were saying is that I think we need to bifurcate in terms of where the situation is, because pre-relationship, obviously there has to be communication along, you know, all along, but I wouldn't mention a prior, now this is just me personally, I wouldn't mention anything overtly regarding previous relationships. I've heard women attempt to, and usually women do this, but maybe men do it too, but men don't express it this way. And women will try to make a present guy pay for situations that a prior guy has caused her, and that's hellish. A guy should never tolerate that from a woman, because that's not his problem. That's her problem, and she needs to work that out either with the other guy or with a counselor. If she's trying to make him pay for someone else's mistake, no, that's absolutely unacceptable, and a guy should say that.
No.
But I don't think I would never talk about what happened. Well, you know, you probably will get into a little bit of that, because women will generally ask you about your prior relationships. Yeah, they will, and they do.
And men do too. Men do as well. You know, so why aren't you with the guys before? No, they will. You know, what happened before? Because,
well, what a man is mainly concerned about is your body count. If he wants a long-term relationship with you, he's concerned about your body count, which I think is an important issue. But go on, continue.
I mean, because sometimes, you know, the last relationship, you know, the guy may have, you know, slapped her around, beaten her, blah, 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 so on and so forth. And so she may be a little bit skittish about getting into a relationship. Or, you know, something may have happened so bad that she doesn't even want it. She wants to just keep it in the back of her mind and just block it out. But a lot of times you will talk about your past relationships so you don't go back down that road again. And Reverend Ron would say, you know, you don't be bringing Jimmy, Johnny, Joey, and Jillian, whatever, and Julian into the new relationship because, you know, that's your exes and this is me now, so which is true. But sometimes you got to talk about things so that it doesn't happen again. So, you
right,
know,
right.
Just, it's kind of, how do I want to say it? Not a give and take, but you got to talk about it sometimes, even though you don't may not want to. It's like, oh, I don't really like the way you do that because, you know, James did that, and I just really just freaked me out, the type of thing. It's like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'll try not to do that. And so, depending on, you know, male or female, depending on how you react or act, they will try not to do it unless they just want to get under your last nerve. But I mean, if they see that that really bothers you, be it male or female, I would try not to do that, you know, because I don't want no repercussions of the last relationship coming to this new relationship.
Right. And there are delicate ways of finessing this,
right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, definitely. But what I noticed, and I shared with you before, it's hard for men and women to even get to the introductory stage. It's the introductory stage is very difficult. That's the reason I shared with you, people who are concerned about this, is that people, if they know someone, they should do introductions. That's what intelligent people do. And I think I heard you guys talk a little bit about arranged marriage. Yeah, I did. Arranged marriages. Now, I'm talking about marriages now, but, yeah, arranged marriages tend to have greater longevity and greater happiness than so-called marriages for love, right? Because we're just not educated on this particular issue. And when you throw in, you know, the toxic quadrant or quatrain of issues, I think I mentioned feminism, the money situation, lesbianism. See, all of these things come into it, and Me Too-ism. See, those are things that also impede upon potential relationships. So all of that has to be kind of dealt with one way or another. For example, some women say, and I've heard some men say this too, that, first of all, some of the men will say, well, I pay for everything. I don't agree with that. Especially, let's bifurcate here, when you're first meeting a woman, I don't believe that a man owes her anything but courtesy. That's why, and this is talked about a lot on the internet too, coffee dates. Coffee dates should pretty much be the order of the day. Now, when men spend an inordinate amount of money on a woman, I noticed one woman, and this went around the internet, she wanted a $400 date. And, you know, the guys were looking at this and laughing. They were, you know, saying, ha, ha, this kind of thing. If a guy spends $400 on you, generally, he wants something, and he wants it now. Now, one guy, for example, says he pays for everything. He did say he's from the Midwest, and he says, I pay for everything. But I also say to the woman that sex is on the menu. I send her an email. If we're going out, I'm going to take you to this expensive restaurant, whatever. I'm going to pay for everything, including the tip. But sex is on the menu. What do you think about that?
Uh-huh. Well, it, Okay, is that a first date?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. He's not going to spend $400 twice.
I mean, he might. I mean, depending on how much he wants this woman, he might.
Well, I'm just telling you what this particular guy said. Now, I don't agree with a guy paying on the first date or paying that much on the first date.
Mm-hmm.
But that was his approach. He said he'll pay for everything, and he'll take her out on an expensive date. But he sends her an email that says, sex is on the menu.
He may have to go up to $1,000.
Well, look here. On that note, now I've heard guys go as high as 600. I heard one guy. Now, see, guys who don't have money, I don't want them talking to me about how much I should spend. Because, you know, TLC made a song, and there are a number of people that have made songs about this.
I don't want no scrub.
Yes, exactly. I don't want no scrub. So, and what she was saying is, now she went through a whole litany of undesirables. She said he had a shorty. You know the song. But I always listen to the lyrics of a song. I don't care how much I like the melody. I want to hear the lyrics. But see, what she's saying is he's not financed. He's a buster. Now, see, some busters, guys, and there are buster women, too. In fact, I think most women dating are busters. But these guys will try to tell a guy about spending money. Now, they don't have any money. And wait a minute. Wait until you get some money before you start trying to tell a guy how to spend his money. Because a guy who has made his money honestly, who has earned his money honestly, is not going to listen to a fool trying to explain to him how he should spend his money. Let me just say this: dating is expensive. If you talk to a budget analyst or someone who is helping you get your budget back on track, one of the first things they look is you're eating out, and they'll say, well, you've got to cut back or cut this out. So what I'm trying to say, most people have a limited amount of resources in terms of money. They have limited money. Okay. And to just say spend it on virtually, and I don't mean this in a hostile way, but I mean it in a factual way, to spend it on meaningless women, I say – women that you don't even remember their names 2 months down the road. One guy talked about having spent, now this was over a period of time, 50 grand. 50 grand is a small fortune. That's the annual salary. That's considered the average salary for Americans. That's a substantial amount of money. And, you know, there's this endeavor or attempt to shame men into spending money on meaningless women. I say a man should only spend money on deserving women in their family or women that are their girlfriends, not strange women. And any woman who talks to a man about, for example, and this is connected, well, I want a guy to treat me like he does his mother. That's an insult. If a woman says that, that is a huge insult. Who the hell is she? If a guy's mother was a good mother, she sacrificed for him. Here, this woman, this strange, stray woman, she had to sacrifice a darn thing for him. He didn't even know her. And for her to impose and say that you should treat me like your mother because I have a vagina is insane. And see, guys need to get arguments to come back or combat to this insanity that these modern women, modern feminist women, have concocted. You see, a man doesn't owe a woman a $400 meal. No. And some women are saying, well, hey, you got to pay for my babysitter, you know, plus a $400 meal. And a woman who has children, especially who hasn't been married, is usually not a good option anyway. I mean, I can see taking in a woman who has had one child, preferably a male child, because there are all kinds of problems that can flow out of, you know, Kevin Samuels used to, the late, great Kevin Samuels used to talk about this. But see, women don't think about this. But one child in a marriage, I consider that woman a higher priority than a woman who has just been fighting it up and had a child out of wedlock.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? If it were your son, I always ask women to think of this in terms of their son, because sometimes it's hard for women to think of fairness unrelated to them, just general fairness toward men. So I'd ask them to picture their son, their nephew, their uncle, a man that's close to them. There you can get a better, I think, critique or response. Because they don't give a damn. Women don't give a damn about men in general. They don't think that way, generally.
Mm. I mean, even for me, I'll let the gentleman decide where they want to go. So what do you want to go?
Right.
So it doesn't matter to me, because I can eat just about anything off the menu. I mean, I find some calamari or something, because I'm just not a real expensive date. I'm sorry. The first date, the second date, I'll have some calamari and some lemonade or some water or whatever. And I'm maybe a salad, but usually just calamari, you know, just something simple. Because I mean, I'm not trying to rape the guy and take all his money. He's like, okay, dang, you expensive. I said, nah, I'm not trying to be. I'm trying to be, you know, fair, you know. So I'll let the gentleman decide where they want to go, because they know what they can afford. You know, if they say that they want to go to so and so, and that's a $50 plus a plate, it's like, really, that you want to go there? So that's why I say, you really want to go there? I mean, if that's where you want to go, okay. You know, but I mean, $50 a plate, that's just too much. I mean, I'm sorry. It's two plates maybe, but not one plate. Unless we've been together for a while. You know, or they just say, you know, they want to just impress. And it's like, what you say, you don't impress me much? Mm-mm. But no, I could be just as happy at Chili's or TGIF Fridays or Red Robin or PF Chang or some places, you know, because they may not even want to see you no more. It's like, okay, well, you know, don't want to be spending 90.
Well, let me just say when you finish.
Well, say it when I'm finished then. I'm finished.
See, now right. I would put you across my knee.
And do what?
you would go across my. But look here, what I'm saying is that I shouldn't even have to say this, but the money itself is not the issue. It's the principle. Because I don't think a woman deserves that when you're first meeting her. And some women, And you know, there are examples of this. They supplement their own income. They're just using guys. And I think I've told you about this study, because I like to use study and statistics, inferences, this kind of thing. This is in the American Psychological Journal, where a third of women, known as those who comprise the dark triad, are just going out with men for the meal. They have no romantic interest in the man whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It's only for the meal. And so I feel that women have ruined modern dating. Now, if you go back maybe 50, 75 years ago, and you can read about this, The woman, if a man showed interest in the woman, she invited him mm-hmm. to her house because it was considered pretty serious. Women were more serious at that particular juncture. And, you know, he would get a chance to meet her family and this kind of thing. So it was the woman providing the meal that was demonstrative of what kind of wife she could potentially be. And mm-hmm. if things went well, usually this was on a Saturday, you know, the family would be there. He would come over. They would have a meal, conversation. And everybody's checking everybody out, right? Everybody's mm-hmm. checking everybody out. And if the meal went well, then he would be invited mm-hmm. to church. And they would be considered, for all intents and purposes, exclusive. You have women these days spinning a whole bunch of plates. They're dating three or four men at the same time. No. You don't deserve anything. If you're dating a bunch of men, you have a divided mind. What does it say about a divided mind in the Bible? It's not a good mind. So if she's dating a whole bunch of men, a man doesn't have any obligations to her. She's just mm-hmm. out there. So one has to be cognizant of all the tricks that are being played today, you know, women dating multiple men, two, three, four, maybe five men in their Instagram. Okay. Another thing, if a woman is dating a man seriously, she's got to give up all her social media accounts. Give them
up. Hold on. So what if men is dating quite a few women? Is it different?
Well, I think it is different. I think it's very different.
Why is that?
Well, because if he's going to select her, if she's going to be his woman, then she's got to show herself different from the other women out there. She doesn't just get a man. She has to earn a man. And the man is going to have more responsibility than she is in a relationship. He is going to be the provider slash protector for her in large measure. She's not that for him. When a man, now, this is something Andrew Tate talks about a lot. Now, I'm going to use the soft approach to it, not the hard approach, but I am going to use the approach. If you guys are lying in bed, you have a relationship, and there's something goes bump in the night downstairs or in the other room, are you, the woman, going to say, well, wait here, baby, I'm going to go check this out? Are you going to do that?
Maybe.
That's what I thought.
If it's my house, because it's like, oh, you know. But
oh, come on.
House, no, seriously.
So
if
you are
house,
going, you okay. If he says, hold on, I want to understand.
Mm-hmm.
I want clarity. If he says,
okay.
If he says, sweetheart, I heard something, or normally the woman, oftentimes the woman hears it first. And
okay.
He says, well, I'm going to check it out. And you say, no. I'll check it out. Are you going to do that? I thought not. Hey, let me give you a book. There's a wonderful book by Dr. Warren Farrell called The Myth of Male Power. The Myth of Male Power. And I'm sure there are some references. He's probably updated that particular book. And you'll see some other books written by women. And women are chiming in on this too, women at the PhD level and what have you. But men have more obligations in a relationship. Now, a lot of them are hidden. Dr. Farrell talks about the unpaid bodyguard, that a man plays that particular role for a woman. In other words, he's supposed to die slow enough with the invader to allow her to escape. You see, So if a man is going to play that role in a woman's life, he deserves certain privileges, certain options that she does not.
See,
there has to be a balance. You don't get everything and then get the protector provider. No, that's out of kelter.
But
so if a woman wants this man to be her provider, protector, or at minimum her protector, which means a lot, then she's got to show herself worthy, in my humble opinion. She can't say I'm equal to you, but yet you've got to be this provider, protector. No, it doesn't work that way.
But the guy is supposed to be a provider, protector, and provide, profess, and protect, right? That's what they say, the three keys.
Okay, yeah, I'll say right to that, but then I want you to say what she's supposed to be to warrant that.
I mean, if that's his woman, that's what he does. He provides for her, he protects her, and he professes his love for her. Is that not correct?
Yeah, but I think you're flaking out on me. So you're just saying it's a one-way street. He has obligations and she has none in your economy, in your estimation?
No, I'm not saying that she doesn't have any, but that's what he's supposed to do. I mean, she's going to, you know, stand by him, love him, and so on and so forth. But, I mean, that's what he is supposed to do. I mean, unless he's an invalid or something, the baby, I know you can't go out here, so I'm going to go out here. But, you know, sometimes she may be right there with him when he goes down to check to see, you know, who's going bump in the night.
I doubt
women
it.
Women do that. Really?
And normally
you
he wouldn't allow that anyway. If he's going to be her protector, he's going to say to her, wait here and allow me to go check it out. But look, she needs to be able to, just like you enumerated his duties, you need to enumerate your duties and a woman's duties too. She doesn't get to just present any flaky, frivolous thing that she wants, right? She needs to enumerate what she is bringing to the table. If she expects him to be her, that's a lot, by the way, Inez, to be a protector, provider, that's a lot. That could mean he has to die for her in that protector, provider role.
Yep. That's right.
And you've heard the old adage, a live dog is better than a dead lion, right? You've heard that?
No.
It's in the Bible, by the way. But the point is that if a man is going to give up that much, which it could amount to that, Dr. Farrell in his book points out a man intervened for a woman, and he lost his life, but she was able to escape while he was getting, I think the guy got stabbed to death. And so, you know, women today, modern women, Inez, want an unfair deal. That's what men are rebelling against, younger men. They're saying women want an unfair deal across the board. And to attempt to say that a man, that's his obligation to be the provider, protector, and to exempt the woman from having definitive obligations, that's a bad deal. That's a bad deal.
So I just brought up what can a woman bring to the table in a relationship? Okay. It says unwavering support, compassion and empathy, someone to talk to. She brings a woman's perspective to the conversation, companionship. She can become your best friend, and many women enjoy feminine-oriented household chores. Kids need a mother in their lives, financial responsibility, physical softness. Having a lady you can trust by your side can be priceless. A sense of determination, nurturing everyone in her life, her decorating capabilities, a woman's sense of fashion. She will encourage you to nurture your faith. Honesty is incredibly important to her. She is great at communicating. Sometimes she is. She's just going to, you know, but that's what this is. And that's from the herlifeblog.com. What can a woman bring to the table in a relationship? That was just the first one I came to. So, I mean, she brings a lot, you know, and if a man loves her and knows that she brings all that, yes, he's going to protect her. But then a lot of times a woman will protect a man's heart as well. So it just all depends on, you know, how far or where you are in the relationship. I mean, the first night, and you hear something going boom in the night, in the dark, and depending on where they are, if they're at her house, he knows her house. You know, it's like, hey, hold on, it could be, something could have fallen off. Okay, you know, someone could be breaking in, you know. So both of them could go down there for as far as I know, because she knows her house. And then the guy's like, hey, I don't know about this. You just stay right here and, you know. And if I don't come back in such and such a time, call 911. Barricade yourself in the bathroom. Isn't that what they usually say?
Well, okay.
Yes,
but now,
no.
Did I hear you say a cookbook?
No.
Oh, I did not hear you cookbook. Say a cookbook?
Mm-mm. No.
Hmm. How important do you think it would be for a woman to have recipes if she's going to be a man's woman in terms of health and overall balance in the relationship? How important would her own personal cookbook be?
I mean, that's important if she can cook. Some people can't cook.
Hmm.
It says many women enjoy feminine-oriented household chores, but I did not say anything about a cookbook.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
When you're ready.
I said okay.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you. All right. Do you think a woman is very valuable if she can't cook and provide healthy meals for her man?
Yeah. Because, I mean, not everybody can cook, even though she can try. Some men are better cooks than women, but she can, you know, have other things of value that a man loves about her. You know, a lot of times she's a nurturer. Sometimes he's had a hard day. She might be a good massage therapist for all we know. She can't cook worth a darn, but she's got some great hands.
Let me ask you a question.
You keep asking me questions. Go ahead.
Oh, that's the only way I can get information, unless you know another way.
No,
I'm going to ask you a good question, so when you're ready.
On your mark, get set, go.
Okay, yeah, all right. Look here, have you asked very many men about this? How important is a woman that can cook in a relationship? Do you think you might do it after this conversation?
No.
Are you being stubborn?
No. The reason I'm
being, let me tell you, Inez,
no.
That's very
no, listen,
important.
Listen.
That,
no,
wait
listen,
a minute.
Listen. No, hold on, because you asked me a question. The reason why I'm saying no, because if a woman can cook, she's going to invite him over for a meal. And then he can decide if she can cook or not. If she cannot cook, it's like, babe, let's just keep going out. But if a woman can cook and she knows she can cook, she's going to invite him over for dinner and have a nice meal. So that's all I'm saying about that.
All right.
Let me
ask you this. Do you think nurturing, you did mention nurturing, right?
I did. Yes.
How important do you think it is to provide a healthy meal for her man from the nurturing vantage point? Do you think that's an important part of nurturing? And I'm just asking. I'm not trying to back you into a corner per se. I'm just asking you an open and honest question. Under the rubric or heading of nurturing, do you think it's important to be able to prepare for a woman to be able to prepare healthy meals for her man?
I'm going to say yes. She should, but like I said, not everybody can cook. It's not, you know, it would be nice if we all had all these talents and what have you. But if she can't cook, but she can do other things, you know, that he likes and enjoys. Cooking is like, hey, you know, I'll cook, or we can, you know, do Hello Fresh or Hello Kitty or whatever those fresh meal things are, and they can learn to cook. They can get a good old cookbook and learn how to cook together, you know, because a lot of times, like I say, there are some women who think that they can cook like nobody's business. But a lot of women just, I'm sorry, baby, you, that's, ugh, you know.
Inez, can you cook?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to tell you something as a man. If a woman can't, if she can't cook for the, now,
mm-hmm.
I can't speak for every man, and I wouldn't even try
okay.
to. I'm going to speak for most normal men. If a woman can't cook, she's not a good, viable mate. And none of those other activities that you mentioned make up for her not being able to prepare a healthy meal.
In this day and age, I'll have to say for a lot of people don't cook anymore. They don't. They always, hey, Uber Eats or DoorDash or whatever. I like to get I eat a lot of raw stuff. I had squash this morning for breakfast. I had carrots and peanut butter this morning for breakfast. I like to eat natural stuff. I like to eat kale. I like to eat greens. I like to eat fresh stuff. And they don't have to be cooked because they come straight from the ground. But can I cook? Yeah, greens, yams, potato salad. I cannot barbecue, but I can cook. I can bake chicken. I can make macaroni and cheese. I can make red beans and rice. I can do gumbo. I can do mashed potatoes. I can cook. But
let me just share this with you. And this is a good conversation. I appreciate both of our civility in this. Have you ever heard the adage that an army travels on its stomach?
An army travels on its stomach, low to the ground.
You're funny as hell. No, he's talking about the meals. Inez, this is what I'm going to share with you. And see, this is why it's good for men and women to converse, right? This is why it's good for men and women to converse. Now,
men and women, or you and me?
No, men and women, period, because this is crucial, Inez. Every healthy man needs a good meal kind of consolidates everything. And when a man gets home, if he's been out there hitting the bricks, as it were, working hard, making a living, he would love a good healthy meal when he gets home. He would like that.
Hold on a minute.
This is what women need to know. Now, you said you could cook. So since you can cook, mm-hmm. it's really not that great of an issue with you. Maybe I could ask you, would you cook since you can cook? But a woman needs to be able to cook. That is a primary capability that she has to be a future wife and mother. You're going to get Hello Fresh Well, I won't even go there, but okay. The family, a man and a woman constitutes a family. They don't have to have children. Children are additions. And so a woman needs to be able to cook. A cookbook, I heard this as a recurring theme in all the conversations, and you know they're battling it out. Most of it is civil. Some of it gets a little hostile. But you need to talk about a woman being able to cook. It used to be that in high school, they would teach viable skills to males and females. They would teach the woman, I believe it was home economics. We can mix and match this a little bit. I don't have a problem with that. But a woman who can't cook is not a very valuable partner. Not. She's got to be able to cook, Inez. It's not optional.
Okay, these days, how many, I'm not being funny because, you know, everything is so fast and we can go out and get some food, blah, 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 so on and so forth. In this day and age, how many women, men or women, have taught their children how to cook?
Okay. Now, if you ask, go ahead and answer the question. I'll accept your assertion. Go ahead and express it. What would you say it is?
I have no idea. But what I'm saying is, you know, as fast as life is, we don't, because we got technology. We know, throw something in the microwave. That's not cooking. You know what I'm saying? You know, how to act. I mean, I'd love to have a nice big kitchen. I mean, I even try to teach my little grandson, okay, you're going to learn how to cook. You're going to learn today, even if it's just turning the stove on and putting some biscuits on some foil and putting it in the oven. That's easy to do. That's the first step, something real quick, real simple. I taught him how to scramble eggs. You know, so he can scramble eggs now. He can do a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. He can do macaroni and cheese. It's in a box, but he can do it. But it's, you know, simple things to get them started. The thing is, how many parents take the time these days to teach their children these basic steps since they're not taught in school anymore? I was talking to someone else yesterday about home ec, you know,
right.
It was like, because we don't have those, quote unquote, what we call survival skills anymore. We used to have survival skills as far as learning how to, do a checkbook, balance a checkbook, how to write a check, do all those things. We don't do that anymore. Here's a debit card. Here, take the card, baby. Here, you know, so men can cook some, you know. I just got that as a text. Someone is listening in the background and saying, men can cook too, can cook some too. And that's what I was saying. Men can cook. So if a woman can't cook, maybe the guy will teach her how to cook. If he loves her, it doesn't matter. He loves her. He's taken all of her. He knows that she cannot cook. So they will take time together. Hey, babe, let's have like a cooking thing, because they have sipping wine, whatever, these things that the person will come in and help them to cook. That's wonderful as couples, you know, that type of thing. But this day and age, I'm sorry, I don't know who can and cannot cook. My daughter, she loves to cook. I was hoping she was going to go to culinary school, but she didn't want to do that because she loves to cook and she didn't want to be, you know, didn't want to get bored or get burnt out from cooking. She can cook a mean peach cobbler. She can cook. And I'd rather go to her house and eat because she can cook so well. It's just me. See, she's got her and her husband and son to cook for. I just have me. I don't want all that food in my house. I don't. But I can still cook if I had to. If I was stuck somewhere, I could cook. Because my
right, mom, but you're deviating. No, I appreciate what you're saying. But look here, you you said, you keep asking the question, you say, how many? And then when I ask you to answer the question, you say that you don't have any idea. I think you really do, because embedded in your question is the answer to what you're saying. You don't think that there are many. I understand that. And there may not be many. But what I'm telling you is, see, men are still expected to carry out their traditional roles of being provider, protector. Women are not. A woman is less valuable to a man. See, it's not just his value to her or what she values in him. It's also what he values in her. And a woman who
Hold on a second. Stop right there. I just want to, you know, anybody who's out there listening who has my telephone number and can text me, I want them to answer, how valuable is a woman if she cannot cook? I want them to answer that question.
Let me put it in the affirmative, if you don't mind. It is a very valuable skill for a woman to have that she be able to cook. Because the point is, we expect men to carry out their, right, traditional roles, but not women. One of the traditional roles for women was taking care of the home, and that's still important. And cooking was a major part of that. Now, women can say whatever they want to say, and they do. But the point is, a woman who can't cook is less valuable. Because, saying let's go out and do HelloFresh, let me just tell you something, just between you, me, and the fence post, okay? A lot of those people who bring those meals to you, I've listened to documentaries. There have been people who talk about, well, we can steal a portion of the pizza and rearrange it to so that one can't tell. Sometimes they open the food and sample it. They put it in the floor, in the what we call the floorboard, where maybe dogs or animals have been. It is not a healthy option to order food out. Then you don't know what the ingredients are to that food that you're ordering. Now, you ask me, I eat out some. I do eat out, but I also cook. And I enjoy it much better when I cook, because I know everything has been cleaned properly and healthy ingredients are being utilized. I'm telling you, as a successful man, I'm telling you this, a woman needs to be able to cook if she expects to be part of a healthy, normative relationship. I would not take a woman seriously who couldn't cook. She's less valuable.
Okay.
Because she doesn't have some of the necessary skill sets to actually foster a relationship. I don't want a massage. I want something to eat. And I'm not a big foodie, by the way. I'm not a big foodie. I fast like anywhere from 17. I try to get 17, 18 hours a day fasting because I'm getting down to my fighting weight. I only had about 15 pounds to lose, and I've lost about half that much now. You know, congratulations, congratulations, congratulations. And I'm going to hit that mark. But my point is this. A woman needs to be able to cook. It's a primary skill set that she needs to bring into a healthy relationship. Saying let's order food all the time will not work. That dog won't hunt. Your response?
Well, as I was saying, in this day and age, you're in my age, you know, people should know how to cook, but those people, those youngsters coming up, what would we need to do for them?
Well, see, you know how to cook, so we're not talking about you. See, you're flitting in and out. You're jumping in and out. talking about you.
No.
I asked you if you could cook, and you said yes.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
So you're not at issue. You're not the issue here. You're not the problem. For once.
Okay, but listen. We're talking about overall. I mean, you know, so someone in their 30s or whatever, if they're dating or what have you, if we ask them that question, what would their answer be? If somebody in their 40s, we ask that question, what would their answer be? Someone in their
50s. Okay, let me answer that. I'll answer that for you. If a man is successful, now if he's just a fly-by-night, you know, buster, right, it probably doesn't matter. But if he's a serious man, where is he going to get energy from if he doesn't eat? You know, one of the things, let me just share this with you. One of the things, you know, you hear women talking about men cheat. Now, women cheat as much, if not more, than men do. They just lie about it better. But this is what is said by very sage individuals, very wise individuals, in terms of addressing this problem. A woman needs to keep a man's belly full and his balls empty. That is a great way to help ensure that he won't cheat. Keep his belly full and his balls empty. Your response.
Well, sometimes you can't do all that.
Oh, then she's not worth a relationship. If a woman can't do that, if she can't follow those prime directives, I'm going to tell you candidly, she's not worthy of a good man. If she can't keep his belly full and his balls empty, what do you think? He's going to come to the refrigerator. You think he's not going to eat? Come on, Inez, baby, sweetheart, wake up.
I'm just saying,
Get the Reverend on the phone. We need the Reverend. Where's the Reverend?
He may be coming in after a while. But
you know I love you, Inez. Inez, I've got to get something to eat. This is taking a lot of energy for me. I'm going to continue to listen to your mellifluous expression, and I got to grab something to eat. But had you ever heard that before? The best way for a woman to keep a good man is to keep his belly full and his balls empty. Have you ever heard that?
No, but are your balls empty?
I guess I've got to get something to eat.
You don't have a woman to keep your balls empty, so you have to fend for yourself, right?
There's what's called sexual transmutation, okay? I work out a lot. One of the reasons I work out a lot is to address that particular issue. But let me just say this, and I was addressing a specific problem that women raise. See, most of the problem, and I listen to people, most of the problems that women raise, they can solve. They're not unsolvable problems, and they could be solved pretty easily. Women need to know how to cook. And those are two very important things to any man, especially any successful man. Good, healthy eating and good sex, a good, vigorous sex life. And a woman who can't do that is not fit to be in a relationship. Now, I would like for you to harness these questions because these are a little bit more in-depth sometimes than a dealt with. And I would just like for you to ask other intelligent people, women and men, how they feel about this. Would you do that?
Okay, hold on. Okay, it says, I don't have that much time to look for a woman that can cook because women don't cook like that anymore. Some do. You have to leave Florida to find a country girl. And I think they're laughing at the fact that that your balls are not empty, I think.
well, my balls are not at issue here. But one of the things is this a woman or I hope this is a what gender person What sex is this post?
I'm not saying yay, nay, or other way. I'm just laughing because I asked that question. I think that's why they're laughing.
Yeah, but that's not at issue here. Just like when I said what's not at issue is the fact that you can cook. That's not at issue. I'm just telling you what healthy, successful men want. And a woman waltzing into a relationship and she can't cook, and she has an objection to having sex. See, men who are driven need a lot of sex. That's the other thing. Driven men need a lot of sex.
Okay.
And so women need to be aware of that. They should not be ignorant of a man's needs, and particularly their man's needs. So I would just ask you to put that in the hopper, keep that in the, because you haven't heard this before, because people usually don't talk about this. Men have been scared to say it.
We've never had the reason to talk about it. Because we haven't got that far in, what do you call it? Well,
okay, all right. Fair enough. You just haven't gotten to it. Okay.
Okay, we have asked, how do you keep love, but the people who have been on the line hadn't talked about anything like that. So it's kind of hard for me to harness a question or even ask for an answer if that is not the direction that their mind is going. Now, if you were on the line and we were talking about this, that might be different. It might stir up some different feelings and what have you. But as far as, when we talk about it, no. We had not talked about full bellies and empty, other parts. But I mean,
can say testicles, but we'll have your devil show up, and I've given you the information, so I don't even need to be there necessarily. Although
yes,
I do listen into your fine program, but these are germane to a healthy relationship.
Listen.
Go ahead.
You need to be there because this is, as I always say, I always ask for topics. So this would be a topic that would be coming from you. So you would guide this topic. I mean, I could talk about it, but you would feel the fire a little bit more because you're really, what's the word I'm trying to say? You're the one who's asking the questions, and then you get further and further questions, and you get more answers from other people. See, I wouldn't ask that question because I don't really give a rat's rump, to tell you the truth. I don't have to eat. I can be just as good on some peanut butter and celery and just be just as happy and some water. I mean, because it's just me. Now, if I had a man, yes, when I was married twice, I cooked, and he cooked as well. So, that was different. That was how many years ago? Okay, it would have been 18 years ago I was married. And that's how I got down here. And so he did the barbecue and I did the sides. He barbecued the meat, I didn't do the sides, what have you. And my first husband, or has-been, or whatever you want to call it, he worked 6 days and off three. So he was asleep most of the time. So all he wanted was peanut butter jelly and a half a gallon of milk. So it was like, okay, I didn't need to cook. I cooked for my daughter. I didn't even have to cook for her, really, because she was picky. So I did the same thing because this is all that she ate. So we need to have a person who has a standard life or standard living. And let me see. Someone just sent me a text. It says, maybe a younger man, I'd rather have a good, honest relationship, someone who cares about me and I care about her. And the rest we can figure out as we go along. But I get what he's saying. And this is it. Some things you grow to do, and because you may like me, and it's like, can you cook? No. Oh, well, then I guess we can't have a relationship. Well, okay, fine. You just lost out on a good woman just because I
no,
can't
no,
cook.
No, no, no,
no. I'm not
No,
saying.
No, no. Look, Abraham Maslow, if you don't mind, because you interrupted me earlier and I was okay with it. Look, Abraham Maslow.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Abraham Maslow, mm-hmm. are you familiar with him?
I'm not familiar with him.
You just may know him as Maslow, Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. Have you ever heard that?
Maybe I have in my travel.
Okay, let me just explain it to you briefly. See, what I'm saying to you, dear, is fundamental. If you look at the pyramid, and you've heard of self-actualization, we all should be on that particular journey, hopefully. But at the lower, at the base of the pyramid, there are what you call essentials that are required for one to reach the apex of the pyramid, the zenith of the pyramid, the self-actualization. But that food, sex, water, shelter, those are fundamental. That's the reason I'm bringing that up. I'm not just bringing that up as some sort of footnote or some sort of sidebar. These are essentials, quintessential. They are absolutely important to a relationship. And while I'm talking to you, I'm just laughing in my head at some of the documentaries. I know this guy, he found this girl with a fat ass or a fat butt, but ass is in the Bible. But anyway, he found this girl with a fat booty. He did have a nice booty. But I remember he came home one day from a hard day at work, and this was repeated. This had been repeated a number of times in different settings, different scenarios with different couples. And the man would ask the woman, they got this woman that looked really good. The outer shell looked really good. But he would go, haven't you cooked anything? And the woman says, no. And then in one instance, the guy turned on his heels and he was headed out the door. She says, where are you going? He said, to get something to eat. And she said, well, bring me something, too. And so, needless to say, that relationship soon ended. A woman who comes into a relationship without cooking skills and proper desire skills to have sex is not really a useful partner. And I think it's very crucial, and I hope you explore this more. You say you just hadn't gotten to it. And I don't want to jump too far ahead of you, but we were discussing this, so I think it was appropriate to introduce it, that if a woman is not going to have, well, just remember what I said. The way that a woman can keep a good man is to keep his belly full and his balls empty. Now, with having said that, I'll listen to you. I'm going to put you on speakerphone, but I've got to get something to eat right quick, okay?
Where's Irona?
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Where's who?
Yes, Irona. She was a robot. She was a robot made on the Jetsons.
You are funny. Yeah, she was a robot made on. But, you know, now you saying this, now I meant to look this up, but they say that there's a robot someplace, I forget which state it's in, but it can actually make burgers because they're having problems with getting sufficient labor, and they're really advancing in the area of robotics, AI, artificial intelligence. And there is a robot, from what I understand now, that can actually prepare a burger, you know, different ways for people. But who is the robot that you were speaking of? I didn't get that.
I think her name is Irona, I think. I think that's what her name was. Irona.
Well, you but know, that may be, I don't know what we're going to do. I think the nucleus family, you know, currently, only way consciousness is only derived from biology. I know Google has been talking about consciousness, that is an artificial intelligent entity becoming conscious. So I don't know where we'll go with this. So what you're saying, I guess, if you can get a robot and program it, to where it can prepare meals that would exempt the woman from being able to do it? Is that what you're getting at?
What I'm saying is, but in this day and age, in this day and age, you know, things are so advanced that you may not even need a woman anymore.
Well, I don't want to go there. First of all, I don't think that's true. I don't think that'll ever be really true. And I don't think that there's any evidence of that being true. Now, I could say that to you in a moment of upsetness, you know, when you, but in my heart of hearts, from what I know and what I see, I don't think the human agent will ever be exempt. Because remember, robots don't have a purpose. They can't have a purpose. If you ask them what is their purpose, they don't have a purpose. Other than to carry out the directions of their creator.
Did you watch iRobot, Will Smith?
No. Is it good? Do you recommend it?
Oh, I've seen it a few times. I like it, yeah.
How recent is it? How recent?
It's older. It's an older movie, but it's still, I think, 20.
Yeah, let me write it down. It's just called iRobot?
iRobot.
Okay. Yeah,
and,
I'll check that out. How long is it?
Maybe 2 hours.
Oh wow,
maybe. Rosie was the name of the robot on the Jetsons. Irona Jetsons. She was a robot too. I think that was Irona was, it comes up. Irona Jetsons. I think she was the other robot for the boss, I think.
Now, if I will say this, you know, I remember, and there are still reruns. We can watch reruns, but didn't the Jetsons promise that by now we would all be in flying cars? Wasn't that a promise?
I don't know if it was a promise or a premise or whatever it was, but yeah.
Where are we? We're not there. So, I mean, some of these predictions, I mean, they're nice, they're fanciful, but they may not come to fruition at all. I mean, there are some flying cars. I mean, I've seen some, but nothing like...
There are.
Huh?
I said there are some flying cars.
Yeah, but nothing like for the average person, because one would have to be a pilot, and it's a whole lot more dangerous once one gets airborne, than being on the roadway. So I just mean that I believe I understood that to have been a promise that I don't think that will ever come to fruition. Where you have the majority, or there's not even a tenth of the population in flying cars. I mean, at any one time,
no.
So it's a nothing burger, as it were. It's a nothing burger. So
okay, nothing.
Yeah, no, we're not, and I don't think I would get in a flying car anyway, personally.
Well. A lot of them, it's just like anything with the cars that are automatic now. I don't think you really have to do anything except for a destination Walmart, destination home, destination plaza. You know, that's all that you don't really probably have to do too much driving anyway, which is the way, just like your phone. Hey, Google, you know, dial so-and-so. Hey, Google, get me this number. Hey, Google. Hey, whatever, plane, boom. What's the difference?
Well, I'll tell you the difference. I study aviation a lot. I like aviation. And they have a lot of automated automated systems in modern-day commercial aircraft, but we still mm-hmm. need pilots, particularly in landing and takeoff. I mean, the plane, mm-hmm. oftentimes it can fly itself in flight, but landing and takeoff appears to still, and I'm just, you understand the juxtaposition that I'm engaging in. I'm saying with the most automated and sophisticated commercial aircraft that we have today, they still require pilots, correct?
What's the most, yeah. Yes.
So, well, wait a minute. Say again. I didn't hear you.
I said with the most part, yes.
Well, no, not for the most part, for all part. There's no commercial jet that takes off today without a pilot.
Correct. Commercial, yes, that's correct.
Okay. Well, commercial jets are the ones that have the greatest technology input. And I'm just simply saying I don't think what you just uttered is true. I think it's desirable. But there's no evidence of its existence currently is all I'm saying. That's all. I'm just, you know. All right, sweetie. I'm going to listen to you. I'll be listening as long as you're on the air. You're good with your monologue, so I'll just listen, okay?
Wow, thanks. It'd be nice to have somebody on the line with me, but okay.
Hey, what are those people that, unless they're working, they may be working, those people that, thanks for the invite, though, but I've been here for quite some time. What about those people who are, they're texting you apparently, right, or emailing you?
Texting, yes.
Yeah, why can't some of them come on unless they're indisposed, they're working or something?
Don't want to be on the radio. Some people are in the background. Some people come in the chat room. Some people just, it doesn't matter how they listen, they hear, they communicate. Just as long as they communicate, it doesn't make me know, never mind.
Well, it's all about you. I understand. How many people are in the chat room right now?
It's not, no. I mean, they are only come on occasions. The other day.
Okay. I got you. All right. No, they were sending in the emails. But that's a fundamental subject. And remember, Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
That's like saying
a house, after it's built, you can remove the foundation and the house will remain standing. You and I know that's not true. Food and sex are quintessential to a healthy relationship. And that's the reason I said to you, just some person put it in this very, you know, cute way, just saying keep a man's, but there's a lot of truth to that. Keep a man's, the best way that a woman ensures that her man stays faithful is to keep his belly full. That means, do you know some women lure men away with the way they can cook or have sex? That's the way they steal other women's men. And I'm talking about good men. A good man has to eat, and a good man wants sex. And so if he's not getting it from his woman, which is where he should be getting it, another woman will smell that. She can sense that, and she'll lure him away. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, you know. That's just a conniving woman.
Well,
need
yeah.
to have it behind me.
I'm not going to argue with her. Yeah, she's a home wrecker. But remember, the wife did not secure her relationship, and those are crucial areas. Those are tremendous security breaches to not have to have
maybe
a man hungry and sex starved. Oh, she's just, it's just
listen.
A matter of time. Go ahead.
Listen, maybe she doesn't want him and she could care less about where he goes to get full.
Okay.
And,
that's a separate issue. Okay. You can't introduce that in a conversation like this. That's a separate, in other words, we would say in logic, that conversation needs to be had down the hallway. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a person who honestly and forthrightly wants a relationship, but may do things. Yeah, but may do things counter to having a relationship. Now, if you want to talk about ways that a person can pervert and corrupt and derail their relationship, we can have that conversation too. And there I would agree with you. But it's kind of foolish to talk about healthy relationships and then turn around and talk about the things that undermine them and give them mm-hmm. equal weight. Yeah, that's right. If she doesn't want him, yeah, that's the way she – that's a good way to destroy her relationship, absolutely. That's keep his belly empty and his balls full. Just reverse it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's all one has to do. But, yeah. So I'm going to have – I've got to be honest with you now. When I buy food.
You've been lying before?
Huh?
You've been lying before?
What are you talking about?
You got to be honest. You said you got to be honest. You've been lying before?
No, I'm just saying starting from where I am, not referring to anything forward. But I know you're just making a jokey joke. No, what I'm saying is when I buy food, I do try to get healthy food, but I can be honest with you and tell you, I don't think anyone prepares the food in a commercial setting with the same loving care. I recently bought a very expensive dinner. I think the steak itself cost right at $100. I just wanted to check it out. You know, this was an interesting restaurant. I think it was overpriced. I could cook a steak. It was a ribeye, with you know ribeye. It has the marbling. I could have cooked it.
I love a good ribeye.
Huh?
I said I love a good ribeye, but
I could have cooked it as well. And I think it was like that made about two or three meals for me because it was about a 16-ounce. I don't eat a lot of meat at one setting, but it was good. It was good. But I would prefer my own because I prepare my meat. I know it's prepared properly. Taking nothing away from this restaurant because this is a 4 or 5 star restaurant that I bought it from. Although it was a takeout, and so
wow.
Yeah, but I wouldn't spend that kind of money. I overspent. I could buy those same ingredients and make that same meal for less than a third of what I paid for it, and with a lot more. I would have a lot more quantity. You know, what did I get? I got steak. I think I got some sort of shrimp scampi. That was almost it's about $170.
That's crazy. Are you trying to impress somebody? Because that's
No. I bought it for me. I just bought it for me.
No,
I just
but
what
I'm saying
see...
is that groceries, it could stock a refrigerator of groceries.
That's true. You're right. But it was just, you know, I do that maybe once a year or so, you know, so it's not a big deal, but but it was good. I got to say it was a good cut of meat. It was a good steak, you know, that kind of thing. But I'm mostly a fish person and I have some salmon now and I'm going to work with that. And, you know, prices are so high. Everything is going up. There's what they call shrinkflation. But you're right. One could have bought groceries, a good portion of groceries, with the amount that I spent on that meal. But it was a good meal. I'm not complaining. It was a good meal.
But you wouldn't share that with a woman, is that what you're saying? So you wouldn't... have her, you wouldn't pay for her for $170 meal for her and $170 meal for you, right?
I mean, under the right circumstances, it wouldn't be an issue. Under the right circumstances,
oh,
I'm not going to pay. Look at the words I use, straight and strange, unfamiliar. A woman that I don't know, no. I'm not going to spend that, especially knowing what I know about what women do. There's no way I'm going to spend that kind of money. You know, they actually have a dating schedule. I saw the guys talking about it where they say for the various states how much one should anticipate spending on a date, you know. No, don't get the impression, and I don't think I gave the impression that I wouldn't do it. I was just giving the context in which I would not do it.
Okay. Context.
Yeah, I was just giving the context, just meeting a woman, just a stray woman that I may not know. And I think you introduced the notion that, what did you say? It just may be one date. The woman just goes out with the guy for one date, right? Didn't you say that? You said that earlier, correct?
I could have said anything. But
okay.
Yeah.
In other words, a guy should spend his money judiciously, prudently. He shouldn't just be spending it on any old stray, what do they call feral woman? He shouldn't be spending it on any. That's why I said to you earlier, guys should only spend money on women that are confirmed girlfriends and women who deserve it in their family. But just spending money on a feral woman? Oh, that's crazy.
So question. Okay, so question. So that we've had these conversations, so am I a stray woman? So if I came to your city and say, hey, come on, let's go to dinner, am I a stray cat?
Absolutely. No, I'm just teasing. No. We've had a lot of conversation. And, you know, that's the thing I say. A man should get to know a woman on the telephone where you hear her voice. You guys have gone over some things, you know. So you and I, and not just you and I, but I guess you've known Eddie longer than you have me. If we want to, we can designate that, and Joe, I think, and some even, what's the lady's name? Is Kia? I don't hate Kia. I don't hate her.
Key.
How you spell that? K-E, spell that.
K-E-I.
K-E-I. Okay. Key. Right. It's just I responded to some of the things that she said. And, you know, she seemed hostile and stuff. But I don't dislike her. And I would like to be friendly with her also, but I don't know if I can. Mm-hmm. See, she seems extremely finicky, persnickety. And so, you know, that's that.
She just knows what she wants and she's life and she doesn't put up with a whole bunch of boo-boo.
Well, I don't think that's true. I think you're just kind of biased in taking her side. Do you ever see anything she says that's inaccurate, that's not kosher, that's not right? Do you ever call her out on anything?
I've known Keith probably about 16 years.
Okay. In that time, have you ever called her out on anything?
No. Because she's true to her word.
All right, fine. No, I like to be as friendly with as many people as I can. You know, in the Bible it says, oh, no man, nothing but love, and be at peace with every man in as much as it lies within you. And see, some people you can't be friendly with. Some people you can't. I can be friendly with almost anybody that will reciprocate, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's the way it goes. No, but you and I mean, we talk. It's not really hard talking to you. You kind of bristle up sometimes. I'm over a foot taller than you.
Oh,
did you know that?
Say that again.
I'm over a foot taller than you.
Was that supposed to
mean? And sometimes, you know how you do, you and I'm going, oh, this little woman, what are you, 5'3"? I'm almost 6'3".
Okay. The bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Ah! Come on. You don't be, you're a Christian, right? Don't you love people? You fight people?
I do.
Are you a bully?
But hey.
Wait a minute. Are you
a
bully?
I'm not a bully. I'm not a bully.
Okay.
I'm not a bully.
I just want to know.
I had brothers, so I had to protect. You know, they wrestled, so I wrestled. I was their wrestle partner. So, if I could play football, I would play football. If I could have wrestled, I would have wrestled. We played football in the park with the kids from church and stuff and chapel. I just like contact sports.
Well,
but,
be
I mean,
careful
I'm,
now
I'm
because don't be that weekend warrior because getting an injury is not a good thing. I used to play college ball, high school and college ball. I like sports.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to watch it that much. Well, sometimes I do. I watch little leaguers, you know, play ball. And
I like
but you have to be
football.
Careful because – You know, I don't say that you aren't in good health, but an injury kind of, it sucks, you know?
Oh, I know. I was in gymnastics, track, volleyball,
mm-hmm.
basketball, gymnastics, what's it called? Cross country, hated cross country. Any sport that was out there, I tried to play. Softball.
Wait a minute, cross country. So you're saying you're talking about running, right?
Yeah, we had to run because of gymnastics to stay in shape.
Yeah, I'm going to take up running again. I'm just looking for a break-in point. Yeah, I used to do a lot of running. I could do 5 miles. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could do 5 miles, but. You know, once you get past 45, you got to be careful. I have no injuries, no known injuries, and no joint problems. I know people that are 55 and have had hip replacements.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Yeah. And you can only get, one can only have about, I think, a maximum of 2 of those. I think the bone structure will only allow 2 replacements, and then the person goes into being a permanent cripple.
Mm.
So it's good to take care of these old joints, you know. It's.
Mm.
Yeah, I used to hurt more when I played high school basketball. I had more aches and pains than I do now. I have virtually zero pain. Every now and then something may crop up, but then, you know, eating the way I eat, you know, and taking the supplements that I do, it's just a passing thing.
Mm.
Drinking plenty of water, good clean water,
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
I do the fish oil. I know you're into mm-hmm. health, too, so that's why I'm saying that. And
mm-hmm.
pretty clean, low stress, not too much stress. Whenever I need stress, I call into your show. I'm teasing. Look, let me grab a bite to eat. I'll listen to you. See, I've taken up so much of your show. But you weren't, it was okay. You didn't have another agenda, correct?
It was called Conflict Resolution Part 2.
Okay, all
right. That's what it was about. We were gonna go over part 2 tonight, continuation of Tuesday.
All right. Well, go ahead. I'll just like I say, I'll listen. I gotta grab a bite to eat before it's too late. See, I'm good. I'm good right now. But I need to grab a bite to eat, and I'm going to listen
so
to you though. Okay.
What time zone are you in?
I'm close to you, Central. But I shouldn't say.
Okay.
I shouldn't say. But, I need to go ahead and grab a bite. So keep talking.
Okay.
I'll be listening.
Darn it. If you need to chime in, chime in. But anyway, starting off with, it's left. I got 45 minutes left, so I could probably get through these seven tips for handling conflict in your relationship. And this is from www.joinonelove.org. Number one, as they say, is create a welcoming environment for open communication. In a healthy relationship, and if anybody's out there listening, you can text me, email me, join the chat room, whatever you'd like to do, and talk to me that way. That's fine. I appreciate the person who has been texting me and conversing with me while I was speaking to Rich, Mr. Solution. In a healthy relationship, you and your partner can communicate openly about what is bothering you. It's almost like the other one we were talking about. Number one is directly express your problems. So number one here is create a welcoming environment for open communication. It's important to not only talk about the problems in the relationship, but also the positives, so no one feels like they are doing everything wrong. If you feel like you can't talk openly about important things like life issues, money, aspirations, and anything big picture that scares or matters to you, then that is a sign, big old sign, ding, 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 that your relationship may be unhealthy. If you can't express your feelings without a fear of retaliation from your partner or them getting overly upset and defensive, then you may be in an abusive relationship. And I was, in my opening, I was wondering, how long are you going to stay in an unhealthy relationship? You know, get some help, go to a therapist, a counselor. If both of you have to go, both of you go. If one of you have to go, who's under stress, then go and make sure you are safe and protected and you get the assistance that you need. Two, maintain a calm and respectful demeanor during heated conversations. How can you remain calm and respectful? I guess you can during heated conversations. It's okay to agree to disagree, but just as long as no pots and pans are flying, no glasses and knives and all that other stuff aren't flying, I guess you can still be heated and cool down, have what they call it, makeup sex. Don't cross lines and start insulting your partner. Keep the focus of the dispute on the issue at hand and don't bring personal jibes, I guess, jibes, J-I-B-E-S, and put downs into it. Also, if your partner consistently gets very heated, aggressive, or starts cursing, you don't like cursing on this show, you all, some of y'all do it, but we don't like it, then those are signs that your relationship may be abusive. No matter what caused the argument, no one should yell at you, curse, or otherwise make you feel uncomfortable and or scared when you are arguing. If you feel like that, then you need to have somebody who, I won't say a mediator, but is a neutral, or make sure you have a friend or two friends together so that, you know, nobody gets hurt. And if anybody is just, you know, really aggressive, then make sure that that other person steps in so that nobody gets hurt. Yes, you should never feel like you are being attacked or the need or to tread carefully to make your partner any angrier. No, we want y'all to stay together and live long life, but we don't want y'all to get mad. You can get mad. Just go to one of those punching places and punch a punching bag or something else, but don't punch your partner. Please do not punch your partner. Please. 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 Three. get to the root of the problem. That's like number one on the other hit list. Directly express your problems. What does this one number say? Number three, get to the root of the problem. Sometimes when you argue with your partner, it is because someone's needs are not being met. Your belly's not getting full and your men parts aren't being emptied. That's funny. That was so funny when he said that. If it seems like your partner is sweating the small stuff, take a moment to evaluate whether there is a larger issue at hand. For instance, if your partner is upset that you are partying in the middle of the week, they might want you to designate more time for your relationships or be worried about you keeping your grades up. Huh? Let me read that again. For instance, if your partner is upset that you are partying in the middle of the week, they might want you to designate more time for your relationship or be worried about you keeping your grades. This must sound like college, so don't be partying during the week unless you're on vacation or spring break or something like that. Consider things from your partner's point of view and put yourself in their shoes. How would you feel if the roles were reversed? What if I was out partying all throughout the week and you were at home? How would that make you feel? How would I feel? Think about it. Put yourself in their situation. Be understanding of your partner instead of just trying to push your point across. Oh, wow. Sometimes you just need to sit down and discuss your issues. You could throw popcorn at each other because that doesn't hurt. But when you start throwing other things, that would hurt. But, you know, sit down and discuss these things. Because if you love somebody, you want to stay with that somebody. You don't really want to leave them because you've invested too much time with them. You know, so you don't want to have to start all over again, go looking for love, as we discussed in one of my earlier segments. So you want to keep this love. Let's resolve those conflicts. Four, watch out for arguments that stem from a need for control. Ooh-wee. If you feel like your partner may be trying to control what you do, then that is a big red flag. You got the one like a bulb waving in front of you. That's not good. If your partner is mad that you text other people, doesn't like you prioritizing school and responsibilities over them, pressures you to hook up with them, or tries to limit the time you spend with friends, then those are signs that your partner may be trying to control you. Yeah, I think so. They take your keys if you drive and, you know, they don't want you going out. What I did is, I won't tell you what I did. I won't say what I did. I know that sounds kind of evil, doesn't it? They try to rationalize it by saying, I'm just overprotective. It's my tryst issues, or it's because I love you. No one should ever try to control you, especially not your partner. You all should have freedom to roam around the country, but yet you still, you know, connected to your loved one, your partner, your person who you love. You don't want that conflict, so, you know. But if they try to control you, love is not control. Love is not. Not at all. Love is kind. I may, after I get through reading all this, I may even go to 2 Corinthians 13, I believe, or 1 Corinthians 13, and talk about what love is. Then that may help also. If any of these behaviors sound familiar, your relationship may be abusive, and you should seek help, because they don't have to put any hands on you. They can mentally abuse you. That's the worst kind, because those are scars that you can't see. And it's, you know, they can verbally abuse you. They can beat you, but when someone tries to control you, they try to control your body, your mind, your mouth, everything about you. They'll take your keys away. They will limit you to anything that you do. So if that's the case, that's an abusive relationship, and you should seek help, and they should seek help as well. They call, control freak. That's what they are, control freaks. You don't want that, you know. They didn't start out that way, so how come they got to that way? Did you make them become that way? But sometimes we do that. We drive a person to make them do certain things, but it's not because you meant to, but sometimes things just get out of hand. So you need to remedy that and make sure that you all continue to love each other and you're not, neither one of you are being controlled. That's not a good thing. All right. All right, number five, find some middle ground. Finding a balance between what both partners want and are comfortable with is very important. If you both care about making the relationship work, and that's what we're talking about, conflict resolution in relationships, part two, then if you care about making the relationship work, you will come to an agreement on things without feeling like you are making huge sacrifices. And sometimes people will make those sacrifices because they don't want to lose the one they love. And compromising is a key way to resolve conflicts. And finding a middle ground might be easier than you think. You know, as you say, you're two people heading toward the top of the hill. You find a nice common ground to, you know, make that picnic and lay out the blankets and throw out the wine and the cheeses and the grapes. And all those strawberries, as you say down here, strawberries. Yes. You know, sometimes you might want to do that. Go on a picnic and just talk about things in an area where it's not confining or it's different. And just kind of, you know, let down your hair and just talk about the situation where you're both at ease and, you know, on common ground, as you say, as they say here, you know, so that it's not so hard to talk about what's bothering either one of you. If you are arguing about spending time with your friends and your partner's friends, alternate days to spend time with each friend group or do your own thing for a night. Sometimes, hey, this is Friday night. This is our night together. Saturday night is the fellas or the girls. We go and let our hair down, go do karaoke, go bowling or what have you. Maybe have a bowling night and the guys against the women. Hey, that's kind of fun. You know, the guys, you know, some of them can bowl, some of them can't. But it's just fun just to get out and do things. Have fun, enjoy yourself, and let the issues wait for a moment until you guys can just come together where you're not mad at each other, okay? If you feel like your partner is always eating all of your food, ask them to chip in the next time you go grocery shopping. Do you hear that solution? $170 for a steak dinner? Okay. Okay, guy. Good for you. You want to come back and talk to me? You can come back and talk to me. All right. Agree to disagree. Didn't I just say that earlier? Agree to disagree and choose your battles. Okay. So sometimes we need to consider whether what we are fighting about is really worth arguing over. That's a good one. Let me say it again. Sometimes we need to consider whether what we are fighting about is really worth arguing over. Some things are so petty. It's like, really? Was that really worth the argument for the last few days? And you pouting and slamming doors and going out and getting drunk? No, it's not. It's really not. You know, babe, hey, look, I didn't really appreciate what you did. You just talk about it like I talked about in the other tips. Lay it out there and just say what's bothering you. It is so much easier than harboring what's bothering you, and it festers, and then all of a sudden you have this volcano of evilness coming out of you and spewing all over the place where it didn't have to be like that at all. So is it just a matter of what you eat for dinner? Sharing the covers? Wow. What's your next Netflix binge should be? It's your own television, because sometimes, you know, you may sleep in one room, he may sleep in another, because you're both binging on sports and you're binging on rom-coms. Either that or y'all binge on something together that you like, that you can talk to each other, touch each other, you know, lay your head on each other's shoulders and stuff. It's really not that deep. It is, but it isn't is. But, you know, if the problem is small, like I'm just saying, sometimes it's best to just drop it, you know. But if it keeps coming back and it's really, 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 I'm going to say it again, really, really bothers you, then you need to talk about it. But if it's something small, it's like just real petty, don't even bring it up. Don't even bring it up, because it's going to, you know, might destroy what you have going on, and it's not even necessary because it's just really minute. So if you won't be mad about it next week, then it's probably not worth your energy. So, you know, take about 10 seconds before you blow up and see if really what's the issue is really a big issue, which it probably isn't. Probably not. You won't agree with your partner on absolutely everything. And if you feel like the issue is too big to drop, then you should contemplate if you and your partner are really compatible. Let me read that one again. You won't agree with your partner on absolutely everything if you are somebody's pulling your leg. It's almost like Coming to America. When Eddie was going to get married, and the young lady says, or he says to the lady, "What do you want me to do? Whatever you want me to do. Bounce up and down and bark like a dog." No, that's not even right. Let me have a say in something, you know. I'm not going to follow you off to the ends of the earth. I want to have a say in some things, because I have feelings too, and you have feelings too. So we need to just talk about it, and maybe we can talk about it, and maybe not. Sometimes we need to have that cooling off period and talk about it sometime when we can both sit down and be adults about the situation and talk about it. So, like I said, you won't agree with your partner on absolutely everything. And if you feel like the issue is too big to drop, then you should contemplate if you and your partner are really compatible. That's that walk away type of stuff. And the seventh one that I have, yes, consider if the issue is resolvable or not. So can we remain amicable after we talk about the situation? Sometimes we argue with our partner about something that is really big and impacts our lives, like transferring schools, if you do or don't want kids, and where you live when you graduate. See, these kind of questions go from married people with trying to have kids or not, and kids just going into a new relationship. So say, for instance, your boyfriend, girlfriend, and you get accepted at a college, and you want to move to that college because it pays everything. But the other person's like, "No, I don't want to move. I want to stay here." Okay, then my college over some buffoonery. Okay, College is probably a good thing because how often do those opportunities come along when you get everything paid for? And if that person really loves you, you will correspond. You'll go back and forth and see each other and talk to each other on the phone and text and text and text and text. And sometimes some person might surprise you and say, hey, I'm here for the weekend. And then you might get surprised because there's something else going on. But anyway, that's neither hither nor thither. And if you feel like you will need to sacrifice your beliefs, your morals, or dreams to make the relationship work, then you should think about whether this relationship is really worth staying in. Let me say it again. If you feel like you will need to sacrifice your beliefs, morals, or dreams to make the relationship work, then you should think about whether this relationship is really worth staying in. Ponder on that for a little bit. It's kind of for like a lot of the young kids, because we as adults, we would know. The older we get is like, eh, I don't care. I don't need you. Bye, Felicia. For a relationship to succeed, you and your partner need to see eye to eye. You know, you got the fingers to each other, two fingers to your eyes, two fingers to their eyes on a bigger picture. Having aligned goals, dreams, values and beliefs is a major part of being compatible with someone. So, what can I say about this so far? I'm going to tell you. If you keep these tips in mind during your next argument, you'll be sure to handle your future conflicts in a healthy and constructive way. No one wants to be like Noah and Allie from The Notebook, never agreeing on anything and fighting all the time. I haven't seen The Notebook, so maybe I should see so then I can understand about Noah and Allie. Even if it means you get to turn into birds together in the end. Birds of a feather flock together. Constant arguing, overly heated battles, and fights that spiral out of control are signs of, come on, let's say it together, an unhealthy relationship. I didn't hear you. An unhealthy relationship. Say it again. An unhealthy relationship. You or someone you know may be in an unhealthy relationship. There's things that you can do to help them. First, let's start a conversation. Let's just talk about it. You know, sometimes if people talk about it, then they can get it out of their chest and you'll know exactly where they're coming from and maybe help them through what they're going through. The best way to help a friend, family, or loved one is to talk about it. Communicate. Even if it's just not with your partner, communicate with somebody so that somebody knows what you're going through. Because if they don't know what you're going through and then all of a sudden you got this big old black eye, you're bruised, your ribs are bruised, your lip is busted, and your jaw's broken, something done happened to you. And you didn't fall down the stairs and you didn't fall over the banister. So you met somebody's fist, the floor, the wall, all that stuff. And so it's best you talk to a friend, family member, or loved one. Talk about it. Communicate. Say something. Don't be quiet about the situation. Hopefully these tips will help with conflict resolution between the two of you. If you feel you need more therapy and you want to help resolve and stay together, find a good counselor or a good friend who the both of you know and is mutual and neutral so they can help you resolve your conflicts. They may have questions and they may have answers to your questions and they may have questions to something that you have an answer for. So let's talk about it, as we say. Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. Let's get off your chest. Let's do the right thing. I want to see y'all safe and healthy and happy the next time and not all bruised up, beat up, and anything else, doubled over and can't stand upright because you got busted rib or, you know, you're wearing dark shades because someone bust you up in your eyeball. No, we're not going to have that. So I want to thank y'all for joining me tonight for Conflict Resolution Part 2. I want to thank Rich, Mr. Solution, as he calls himself, almost 6'3", as he say he be, for joining me. January 8th, which is Sunday, we're having Second Sunday Service, and that's 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Don't know who the speaker is yet. Still looking. So if y'all want to speak on Second Sunday, hey, reach out and touch me. You know, I don't mind to have some new speakers. Get in touch with me either through my telephone, if you know me, or letsdoitradio@gmail.com. Again, that's letsdoitradio@gmail.com, and I will answer you. Say, hey, I want to speak on Second Sundays. I would be more than happy to have you. If not, I can go to my old standby, but, you know, it's always good to share. So hit me up, letsdoitradio@gmail.com. And on the 10th, it's me again with, and that's a Tuesday, Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. Don't know what we'll talk about, but we'll find something to talk about. Maybe we'll get some fellas to get in here as far as, like, football or injuries and stuff like that. Talking about DeMar and what he's going through and his family's going through and all of his loved ones and football people, you know. Football, yes or no? It's a yes, but, you know, we'll talk about it. We'll see. And January the 12th, keeping it real with Sergeant Parks, going to be coming back with a 38th annual MLK Junior Celebration. Together, we can make it happen. And, yes, that's at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, so join us on that day. He's going to have a few people joining us that we can talk to, talk about. I think Chief of Police, Sergeant Murray, I think it is, and then from the OIC, and just different people who can make it happen when they work together. So can't wait for that on January the 12th. That's a Thursday. And also support Reverend Ronnie Marshall with all of his music. He's got a few albums out there, The Praying Man, The Praise God album, and Don't Turn Away From God album. And he's coming up. I think he's in the studio tonight, as he said, working on his new song. So hopefully he'll have that out that we can hear soon. So in order to keep us the radio on the air, you can donate to Cash App. Ching! $ A&A, I-S-E, V-A-L, C-O-U-R, or to Venmo @ MZ-INEZ, or if you know my phone number, you can hit me up on Zelle, or you could text me and say, hey, I want to donate, or we are open to sponsorships as well. So if you want to become a sponsor, send me an email at letsdoitradio@gmail.com, and we can talk about it. I'd love to have y'all sponsor me, where during the program we'll be talking about your product or be playing your message during the show. So hit me up, letsdoitradio@gmail.com. And again, in case you miss an episode, if you are interested in past episodes or you want to share or listen to these episodes again and again and again and again, you can do so on demand. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/letsdoitradio and choose your episode. We've had quite a few good ones. Oh, my gosh, we've had some good ones. We had Kwanzaa from the 26th of December to the 1st of January. Then we had also on the 1st of January, we had communion with Apostle Chris Bennett. We've been talking about relationships, conflicts. We've been talking about how can we get along. And we've been talking about, Bruh Eddie. Hey, my man, my main man, Bruh Eddie. What up, my man? I'm glad
you
joined us.
Greetings.
Greetings. How are you?
I feel all right. How about yourself?
I am good. I am good. I am good. Were you listening to me in the background?
A little bit. A few things I had to take care of, so I was kind of quadruple tasking. So
oh,
I
you
were
not multitasking, quadruple tasking. Oh, my. Yeah. Wow. You had octopus hands?
Oh, yes, indeed. All eight of them.
You said all eight of them are in here. You funny.
Mm-hmm,
you're
really
so funny. You have to get me a new headset, I guess. Let me see if I can do this new one here. Hold on a second. Keep talking.
Yeah, indeed. You know, interesting times we're living in. Some people can say it's biblical if they understand the code. But yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you wonderfully well. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you very well.
Oh, good. Okay, I'll start using this headset then.
Yeah, I was just emphasizing how interesting these times that I've been living in. And, you know, we all need to take advantage of the vibration and get into ourselves and not opinions and beliefs and just listen to what our own souls say, you know. Fasting and clean water, sitting in the sunlight, all of that stuff is very, very important.
Getting grounded.
Yeah, grounding indeed. One should know where you seek to get information from books.
Mm-hmm.
Because your soul knows all. Mm-hmm. You just have to have faith enough in yourself to listen to yourself. No emotion.
No emotion at all?
Well, you think about it. If you're not excited, if you're not governing yourself according to agape love, then, you know, you either fear or ego. It's just so many things that we can be, but, you know, we don't really listen to our higher self, you know. So these things of the flesh.
Is it because we don't get in tune with our higher self, Eddie?
Ah, indeed. Yeah. The best person to talk to is the self. You're going to get that in a book. You're not going to get it in a book.
Right.
Unless, you know, it's an old ancient book that says, know thyself, study thyself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Where were you earlier? Man, I could have used you earlier. I know you was busy, but some good information.
Yeah.
Some good information. Some good they call it nuggets, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
Real good nuggets. Yeah, we were talking, well, Felician and I was talking about all kind of things. So he may come on one night, maybe, and talk about.
Where's Joe?
I don't know. What happened to Joe? I don't know. No, it was just me and Felician for about an hour, 45 minutes. No, I'm sorry, 3 hours. 3 hours, 2 hours and 45 minutes. About.
Wow.
I don't know. It was a lot. It was just him and I.
Okay.
Yeah, I was on him, and he came on about maybe about 9:30 maybe my time. Yeah, about 9:30 my time.
Yeah, I
was
just getting
ready to wrap up.
Especially when he was doing Kwanzaa, that would have been very, you know, rewarding and interesting time to hear about those principles because there's a lot of vibrations that govern the universe and principles and precepts are very, very important, you know. That's why
and
they have
that's
Psalms.
Recorded so you can go back and listen.
Oh, I intend to. I'll probably do it this weekend.
Okay.
If I don't do too much, I'll probably do it this weekend.
Okay. Okay. And just tell me, you know, text me and tell me how what you think of it.
Definitely. Will do. You got to close the show.
Yeah,
I appreciate you, Doc.
Oh, no, 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 no. I'm taboo. I close the show. A lot of times, Lucy and I, we'd be on the phone until another hour after the show is over. Another hour. So a lot of times we go from 9 to 1. That's what the show usually goes from, 9 to 1 o'clock. So, I just appreciate you. Yes. Mm-hmm. I talked to him today. He was going to try to make it this today, but he's doing his song, so he had a rehearsal tonight. So he said he was going to try to get on about 9 o'clock his time, which is 10 o'clock my time. And but he's still probably practicing, so I probably won't hear from him until Sunday at church or Tuesday. So, mm-hmm. So I can't wait for him to bring out his new song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any topics you'd like to bring forth?
Yeah, lighter notes, you know, gratitude and appreciation of significant others. You know, it don't have to be necessarily dating relationships, just, you know, gratitude and appreciation for just being able to know that you're walking in the grace of spirit. You know, we tend to seek so much for things outside of ourselves. It's easy to judge and critique and look at imperfections, but do you see the beauty?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Everything is beautiful to a certain extent.
Because Reverend, he, Bible study, he said, observe all things, was what he Bible study was on last night. It was pretty good until I zoned out. but it was taken from Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore into all the nations, baptizing them and teaching them. So that was a good one. And observe all things. It was good. It was really good. See the beauty. Because I know one person had texted me. He wants to know, what is the difference between Yahshua, Jesus, and something else? I think he said, what is Jesus' real name? I think that's what he wanted to talk about in Bible study. So that, I'm giving that to Reverend Ron, because I'll let him talk about that. I can't talk about what I don't know. But I don't know a lot of things. I just research them and Google them. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. That's what I do.
Yeah, well, if you look at it, do the research. Excuse me.
Bless you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. The J is not really that old. So if an individual named Jesus is supposed to be over 5,000 years old, his name could not have been spelled with a J in any translation.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So
that's
definitely
a Y.
Yeah. Hebrew, they call him Yeshua. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm talking about Israelite.
So that means Joshua.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the Ashkenazis because they don't necessarily acknowledge Jesus. They only acknowledge the devil.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of a video called Rabbi Avi Finkelstein?
Mm-mm.
He's a Hasidic rabbi, and he talks about all the great things that the Jewish people have control over. Very interesting. Go on YouTube
if you
can find it. Yeah, but
Rabbi
Yeshua.
Apple Finkelstein?
Abby, A-B-E Finkelstein, yeah.
Okay. Abby, and not Abe, Abby.
Right. And, but you could also look up Jewish shekels. Because that's another thing I had found it under once, Jewish shekels.
A-B-E, you say Finkelstein?
Mm-hmm. Please don't ask me to spell that right now. I'm kind of under the weather, too. My nose
is
asleep.
I can tell. Do you have any, what's that stuff, vapor?
You know, I went out. My daughter's having trouble with the car. I was going to go up there and take a look at the car, but by the time she called me, it was getting dark. And I chose not to do it, so that's what I'm going to do tomorrow. That's what I needed, some vapor up. I've been vaporizing myself, but the stuff that you put in the vaporizer is not recommended to put on your body.
Mm.
But it kind of has that menthol smell to it, though. But
eucalyptus.
No,
right,
I definitely.
Yeah. You do what you do is you put it on your whole face. You know, put it from your nose on down, and then your chest. And that's what people said to do for COVID as well. And a lot of people, it helped them to breathe a lot better during COVID. Basically put it from the nose all the way down their face, their mouth, and to their chest, and then just kept it covered and warmed and everything. And that's how they were able to breathe a lot better.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. And drink some elderberry as well, and hot lemon tea, as hot as you can drink it. What my mama would do is she would boil a half a lemon, make it like a little tea, and then put honey, and she'd put like, onion juice, which she'd kind of grate a little bit of onion and put it in the cup, and no garlic, and we got it, a little bit of brandy. She got brandy or M-A-S-H.
And
what else did she put on there? The vapor rub. We have us eat that stuff. And there's a few things that she do. Oh, honey, some honey as well. And drink that as hot as you could while you're in the bed. And it'll help you sweat out whatever's in you. And you feel so you. We were kids, and we were going like, okay, nothing happened to us yesterday.
I was doing a lot of that over the past few days. Yeah, constantly changing my clothing. I was doing a lot of sweating, but I'm not necessarily in the weather.
Yeah.
I just have changing the seasons. I usually go through a cleansing, and I didn't do it again like I did last year. And it's just a lot of mucus. I'm not coughing. No fever, no chills. It's just mucus. And, I don't remember what I did with my book that I wrote down my remedies. Yeah, I need to put something. I know mullein is good. I got to get some of that. Just to drink something, like you're saying, to purge this stuff out of me. Because it's in my...
Yeah, and if you don't if you don't drink tea, hot water, I do that. In the morning, I drink hot water in the morning because it's a good cleanse. And then drink hot water like it was a tea after your meal or before your meal. Oh, hush, lady, nobody's talking to you. Because that helps. It warms the food. And if you have anything that's like greasy and stuff, it helps break that down, that oil, and helps, I'll say, decoagulate. The grease and stuff. So that's kind of like drinking tea after a Chinese meal.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay,
you
don't
care
about tea. So, yeah, and if you can get some green tea, that helps as well, just for medicinal purposes. And but the lemon is your best thing. Lemon and some Hall's cough drops.
That's what I need to get. I been trying to find licorice candy, real licorice.
Yeah.
Because licorice is good for these issues too. But I forgot about the Hall's. No, not the what's that called? Like Twizzler sticks. This is hard candy. But
no,
you're right.
It's
but
nasty.
If one doesn't
like
licorice, but licorice, the herb licorice is very, very good. You know, I can't remember the name of this company. Their licorice tastes almost like the tea, not more so like that candy. really good. But I've been drinking a lot of ginger and lemon boiled together. You know.
Yeah, ginger. That's good too. That's really good.
Yeah, but I feel right now just basically in my head, you know, there's very few things that go across that brain-body barrier. You know, I really need to drain. So probably not sit my head over one of them pots like they used to back in the day, put some of that stuff in the pot and let it boil. Turn the pot off.
Or just under your nose and stuff, too. But, if you can inhale it and get that mucus to break it up, that'd be good. But they have, let me show, that's licorice.com. That's that, licorice root, nuts.com. This is so nasty. Ugh. Anise is also licorice.
Anise. Anise.
Mm-hmm. Anise.
Wow, Anise. I didn't know that.
Licorice root benefits, uses, precautions, and dosages. Licorice root may have potent antioxidants, anti-inflammatories, and antimicrobial effects. Early research suggests that as a result, it may ease. Open that garden. It may ease, but yeah. Despite its history, some of its uses are backed by scientific research. Furthermore, licorice may carry several health risks. This article examines the uses, forms, benefits, and side effects, and recommended doses of licorice root. And this is www.healthline.com. Then nutrition and licorice root. It's used. Medicinal use of the licorice dates back to ancient Egypt, where the root was made into a sweet drink for the pharaohs. It also is used in traditional Chinese, Middle Eastern, and Greek medicine to soothe and upset stomach, reduce inflammation, and treat upper respiratory problems. Today, many people use licorice root to treat ailments like heartburn, acid reflux, hot flashes, cough, trio, and viral infections. It's readily available as a capsule or liquid supplement.
That's what all these infectious things are, is some kind of parasite. Just like even the testdemic, they want you to put parasites in your body. You know, old Sleepy Joe wants somebody to, you won't have no food or have nothing to drink if you don't take the pokey. He had a control. Well, the people that's controlling him are out of control. It's sad how they want to kill people. If people trust in their system, they out their damn mind. Excuse my language, but that ain't God. That ain't nothing that God be loving about them fools. They trying to kill you. But I'm kind of glad I feel
my
like
girlfriend,
this.
My girlfriend, she's been sick. It may help you build up your immune system.
It's good sometimes just to be still.
Yeah.
I think sometimes that's another reason why these things take place. You know, back up away from this public environment and all of the lies and just get into yourself and just supplicate with your higher self.
Also, put a hot towel, once you get the vapor, put a hot towel, a warm towel on your chest, and put that vapor rub on the on your chest, and that helps as well.
It's
like
up
a heating pad, if you have a heating pad.
I put what kind of oil is that? Castor oil.
Castor oil.
I rub it on my stomach and my back, wrap myself, put little plastic bags on the front and the back of me, put a towel around that, then I'd lay on my heating pad, go to sleep, and I'll wake up, ready,
go
right to the throne, Yep, nice bowel movement. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Natural remedies are better than, you know, taking the plastic pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You know.
Mm-mm-mm.
These are interesting times we're living in, Doc, you know.
Oh, I know. I know.
I think the old ways are calling out to us, you know.
To go back to.
Yep, saving grace is going to be back to nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Back to slow and easy lives. Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
That part, that's really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
The hamster wheel don't do nothing but feed the machine.
Down, take us back.
I said the hamster wheel don't do nothing but feed the machine. And the machine ain't trying to help.
Keep it going.
The machine is not humane. It's not compassionate. It's not loving. You know, it takes a fool to learn. Who was that, the spinner? Who sung that song? The original, anyway. I think it was the spinners, right?
Yeah, Mister.
Pain was on my face. My heart beat stopped. But I won't take the blame. Gave all
the
love I had.
Don't love nobody?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Is that it?
Yesterday, I think it was the spinners.
Mm-hmm. It was. Mm-hmm. Love don't love nobody. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, beautiful song.
Mm-hmm. And Phil, Phil Perry also sang it.
Yeah, he had his own rendition, but he wasn't bad. He wasn't as clear as the spinners were.
Mm-hmm.
Me, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Mm-hmm. But, what's the name of that song? I think it was by Genesis. Hotel California. That's a nice rock and roll song. I used to love listening to.
I love that song.
Yeah,
I love that
song. Really speaks about the machine of society today. The Eagles, right.
By the Eagles.
Yeah. It's like you're in a place that looks nice and comfortable and beautiful and loving. Then you find out that there's an invisible monster. He's trying to control, manipulate, and decimate everybody. Every night they try to kill it, and they can't kill it. And the God decided that he wanted to try and get out, to get back to the place where he was before. Yeah, the nightmare says, relax. You're programmed to deceive. You could check out any time you like, but you could never leave. Living it up at the Hotel California, such a lovely place. Yeah,
such
interesting lyrics.
Such a
lovely.
I got to check on my people in California. Stairway to Heaven, Led Zeppelin. Oh, another one.
Yeah. Fly like an eagle.
Yeah, I was.
Kenny Loggins.
Then we go Jackson Brown, all them folks.
Carlos Santana, Love, Devotion, and Surrender. You remember that? That's a beautiful song.
Say it again. What is it?
Love, Devotion,
love
and Surrender. No, Love, Devotion, and Surrender by Carlos Santana.
It
speaks on surrendering to your spirit. It says, listen to the rhythm and beat of your heart. Keeps time with all the things that you know and need to know. I forgot how the lyrics go. That's not exactly how it goes. But But the hook of the song, yeah, it says it keeps a perfect beat with something. I don't remember what it says. But it's about love.
Listen to the rhythm of your heartbeat, keeping time with all the universal children, love, devotion, and surrender. They say that it's four times. And if I'm real, no key, if I'm real, when you do it in English, when you say English, that key, key. Tired of walking around and getting nowhere, I know there's a path. Let me see if there's a words down here. No.
If there's any part of me or the physical world that is part of a divine and God-beloved being, it's your spirit. It's just where spirit's clothed in flesh. And the key to it all is to get your flesh to submit, because your ego and those emotions, pride and all of that stuff, is not part of the spirit, it's part of the flesh. Because your spirit needs nothing. Your spirit don't need oxygen. It don't need food. Mm-hmm. It don't need sex. You know, it just is. And that's the part of you that never dies. Your ego and your flesh and all that stuff goes into the ground. You know, recycling, but your spirit lives forever, ever.
Forever, ever? Forever, ever.
Forever, ever. Yes, indeed. You know, so how'd the show go? What was the closing of
this one tonight?
Part that you shared?
Me, basically, well, you know how you always have whatever I do. Sergeant Parks will be coming back January the 12th, keeping a little Sergeant Parks. He's going to be coming with 30th annual Martin Luther King Jr. celebration at Yakima, Washington. But it's basically going to be me. You know, let's talk about it. Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. Sunday service, we have Sunday service. And, of course, you know, donate. Then, of course, if you missed it, blah, 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 blah. So that's why I was there. We basically have to, you know, if you miss anything,
you know,
you can
always go back. Nice. If you would play some of Martin Luther King's last speeches before they assassinated him.
I have a dream,
you know,
of not that.
No, when he started talking about how rich and wealthy melanated people are, and how he emphasized that we are people exiled in our own country, in our own land, you know. So he's another one, and it wasn't purely once he started to awaken that we aren't African American, we are indigenous and the Tongue-Tongue Americans, you know, and that's why he said that. We are people exiled in our own land. Just like if he had more time, he probably would have gave clarity that we weren't slaves, we were prisoners of war. Because our land was infiltrated. We signed treaties in peace for, you know, because we didn't want to fight. We are natural killers.
Okay.
You know, that's why out of all the things that they're going to find on this landmass, it's one thing that they're not going to find. It's one thing they're not going to find is ancient fences. You might find certain borders and totems and things like that to let people know what land they're in or sacred places.
Mm-hmm.
But fences was never a part of the culture of the indigenous people because we were guardians and nurturers of nature, you know. And that's what we really need to get back to, nurturing the soil, planting trees, because they're trying to cut down the trees Just like look at all the mudslides they've been having in California. For the last 150 years, they've been cutting down the trees in California for mining and making various things. And they decimate the soil so trees wouldn't grow back. That's another reason why in the 70s, 60s and 70s, the worst air in North America was in California because they didn't have unleaded gas and the pollution was so thick. You could see it from miles away. You know.
Didn't they have to have those catalytic converters and stuff, or was that not a part of that?
No, that's something that they implemented, that and unleaded fuel also. They took the lead out of the fuel.
Okay.
It was trying to say that the fluorocarbons and stuff like that was also coming from the lead, but it was really coming from the improper practices of the combustion engine. And like you're saying, not having catalytic converters.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if they would, the Brazilians created gas from bamboo, and the emissions on that is very low. Just like that guy they assassinated in Buffalo in that store. A lot of people don't know that, but that's who that dude that drove 200 miles to kill. He was a hitman.
Mm.
It was a psyops, just like Dylann Roof did in that church in Charleston. The minister of that church was a senator. He's the one who created and pushed that bill for police to have cameras on their vests. You know, proof positive of that is as soon as he got arrested, before he went to trial, he had millions of dollars in his defense account, Dylann Roof, you know. Just really sad that, you know, these entities think they're going to stop, be able to stop what's meant to be. They were given a certain amount of time. Now their time is up. Everybody's basically celebrating it but them. You know, I think that's another reason why somebody so-called tried to blow up the Georgia Guidestones, because not a lot of people know about the Georgia Guidestones as of yet, as long as they've been up. You know, about them trying to eliminate 75% of the population of the earth. But it's not.
And you just called the Georgia, what is it? Guidestones?
Georgia Guidestones, yeah.
Guidestones, okay.
Yeah. I think in 2021. It was in 2020 they put on the news trying to say that they were blowing up, but they were only blowing up. Only one of the columns was on the side. Then they did the research, and they said that the person that built them, it's their responsibility to fix them or take them down. So it was supposed to be fixed. Yep. Somehow, when they first started talking about them, they didn't know who erected them or who put them up. But it's interesting once somebody tried to destroy them. Somebody found out who the construction company was that built them. You know, it's crazy. Shows how honest these individuals are.
Yeah.
You know, it's only what people search to find out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but, there's an evil at one. Prime example. Copy loving God, so-called Jesus, Yahshua, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Born of a woman, Mary. Was raised to a certain age, then he disappeared for a certain period of time, right?
Okay.
As soon as he came back, who was the first person that met him on the way? The devil.
Okay.
So who really rules this world? Because most people say they love, but they don't really love. Because if they did, they would forgive all traverses. You know? King James Version of the Bible was written in 1611, and it's his version. So many things. It's interesting. It really is.
Where's your guy?
I'm going to lay down because I just wanted to apologize also for how I got off after saying so many things on your platform the other night. But sad some people don't realize how much women go through. You know, we all have a right to say whatever we feel. But you never know what women go through because they do carry the brunt of society. Men have beautiful days. They celebrate with their women. Men have terrible days. They've taken some of, you know, the children of men take their frustrations out on women. So, just interesting. Lest we forget, right?
We do. Yeah, we do. Just forget. But, yeah, if you would have been on that phone earlier, he's still out there listening. He said he was going to get something to eat. But he was, you know, talking about, you know, that if a woman couldn't cook, you know, she's basically not a good woman to be in a relationship with. And I said, not all women can cook. You've got other attributes and stuff. Why can't they just, you know? So that's a story that conversation we probably would all, it would be nice if we would have had more people on the line with that conversation. But I said, in this day and age, there's a lot of people who don't cook. They weren't taught to cook. And depending on what age range you're talking about, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, maybe 50-year-olds might know how to cook, but no.
Hey, Doc.
Doc?
I apologize for interrupting you, but there's a friend of mine that's calling me right now, and she doesn't usually call me this time of night, so I got to step away.
Go ahead.
Peace
All right,
love.
Good night. We'll talk soon. All right. Okay. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Peace out. Again, in case you missed an episode, if you're interested in the past episodes, I want to share, listen to them again and again and again and again, over and over and over and over, go on to On Demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/Let's Do Radio and choose your episode. I want to thank the worldwide listeners who have been tuning in to what seems to be Let's Do a Radio segment on relationships for the past few months, not weeks, but months. And to listen to how we handle them, and some evenings we even role play. And you can listen online or go to the chat room and talk to me as well. That's fine. You can go to the chat room. I can multitask, I guess you can say. So I want to thank you to every one of you for joining me, as you all do. And if you have something on your chest, you know, you can always email me at letsdoradio@gmail.com and we can maybe discuss your topic. That would be wonderful if you did. And so hit me up. Again, it's letsdoradio@gmail.com. You already know what I'm going to say. Thank you, thank you, thank you all for joining in. And if you've got something on your chest, don't keep it to yourself. Join us on Tuesdays and Thursdays on Miss Inez Says Let's Talk About It. We might just discuss this topic or that you want to talk about. You know me. I've been your hostess for the evening, Ms. Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Inez Chakra Designs at www.anisevalcour.com. That's my website. And you can find me on Facebook and Instagram just as well at Inez Chakra, Inez Valcour. And the thought of the evening is, just know there will be things in life that may break your heart, but can't break your faith. And that comes from J. Rick Rollins II. And those are some of his random thoughts, 30 thoughts while thinking out loud and collecting my thoughts by J. Rick Rollins II. And you can get that at textbookx.com. So I want to leave you with this song, Love You Better, because we're trying to get through some conflict resolutions and relationships, part two. And so Future's going to talk about Love You Better. Mm-hmm.
Jacob, you telling me you falling out of love with me. Hope you can find someone to love you better than I did. Taking our memories on love and treating it like nothing. Taking our memories on love and treating it like gossip. It's my love for my grandmother made me gentle when I care for you. Tell me you're falling out of love, just breaking my heart in two. I just don't want it to end bad. Almost like it didn't happen to make you happy. You telling me you falling out of love with me. Hope you can find someone to love you better than I did. You telling me you falling out of love with me. Hope you can find someone to love you better than I did. It's my love for my grandmother made me gentle when I care for you.
Love you better. My future. Have a good rest of the evening. Good morning. I'll see you on listen to you on Tuesday, second Sunday service. Hope to see you in church. If I don't see you on the street first, have a good night. Peace out. Love, peace, and chicken grease. Good night.